This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Cell phone judgment. You look at someone, they've got cracked front teeth. You think to yourself, what the hell's the matter with you? What are you smoking to make your teeth look so bad? You see someone with a gnarly sweat food-covered outfit. Ugh, why are you so dirty? What do you think when you see someone with a cracked-ass, beat-up phone?
Coming up, you'll hear us talk about judging people. And Mike forwarded over a great article that Match.com did a study on this. And sure enough, it is true. I don't know what is that all about? What is that all? I mean, what else do you judge somebody on just by looking at them? You know what I do sometimes?
Go ahead. No, let's start.
Mike's pointed. Mike fired up real quick.
Oh, the car. If somebody's driving a beat up car,
a hoopty, like a beater.
And if the interior is just as bad and just trash everywhere, yeah, I immediately put that person into a category.
What was yours, Justin? I had another one. Was not car.
Woman's handbag. The amount of items in there, if it looks like she's carrying her life in there.
And it's just a mess.
And I'm seeing like a pair of underwear balled up. If I'm seeing food, if there's a lot going on in that bag, I'm wondering how chaotic is the rest of you.
And maybe this is just me, but I also will judge someone. This is going to sound really bad, but based on their shoes. Have you ever seen someone that has like a real beat-ass pair of shoes? Especially like around here, like people that wear the suits of the world. They always say you judge a man by their – what do they say? What's the thing about the shoes, right? You could tell something about the shoes. What's the saying? Google it. I'm not an idiot. Shoes. You can't have a broke-ass pair of shoes.
Can you judge a man – by his shoes.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Wow. You can accurately judge. It's true. You can accurately judge a person by their shoes. So says Workopolis. Journal of Research and Personality, 63 participants were asked to look at hundreds of pairs of shoes to guess the age, gender, and social status of the person. And far more often than researchers expected, they were right.
Look at their eyes. Look in their eyes. See if they're soulless or not.
What did you say recently, Josh, about a soulless dead eye? It was like an animal.
Oh, the ostrich.
The ostrich.
You look into the ostrich's eyes. There's nothing in that head.
Dead eyes.
There's nothing behind them.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that. Oh, God. Broken up cell phones and you judging people that have them on Behind the Curtain. Shout out John Minidakis, Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Last year, he's able to get me into a wrestling event where I got to meet Brock Lesnar. I go backstage, I meet him, I hang out for a couple of minutes. He's a terrifying individual. He has a gigantic penisaur tattooed on his chest. And as we're talking, and I'm looking around the room. What kind of shoes does he have? What's his bag look like? What's he eating? It's just a huge plate. By the way, a huge plate is raw meat. That's all he eats, just raw steaks. And I look in the background and I notice he has the most beat to S old cracked screen, spiderweb screen, case missing, camera doesn't work, iPhone 4 I've ever seen. The WWE Universal Champion,
right.
Former UFC heavyweight champion,
right.
A weapon of walking war,
right.
Has the most up screen I've ever seen on a cell phone.
And you immediately, whether you choose to or not, pass judgment.
100%. In that moment, while I knew that he could just beat me to potash in his sleep, I feared him 1% less. I loved him 1% less. I respected him 0.5% less. Because I'm thinking, I've seen pictures of your home online and articles. I know the cars that you drive. I mean, you're a public individual. You have everything you could want or need, or if something needs to be replaced. And this thing looks like he just got angry at it and just punched it 15 times.
Cell phone judgment.
Judgment. We judge you for your cell phone.
And didn't one of us in this room just join that group of being judged?
Yep. There I am. Just walking down the street, singing do, why did he? Oh, no. I dropped my effing phone. And I have a case on it, but Like a week or two prior, I had a screen cover.
Yep, I have those. I took mine off.
Why'd you take yours off?
Because it was a little spider webby.
Mine cracked. It cracked and it splintered and it made me look like I had some sort of trash meth hobo phone. So I took it off, kept saying to myself, get a new cover, get a new cover, get a new cover, get a new... Damn it. And I dropped the thing. Now, it's not bad yet, but you can see in the corner of my phone right down there, up into the side, there's a crack and it's getting bigger and it's starting
to
chip away.
Bad.
It's not, but it's noticeably getting worse.
Yeah.
And it's snagging on my pocket when I take it out. And this is also, by the way, one of those new cell phone plans where you can get a new phone every year because you essentially lease the phone. I just got this thing in April. So I'm stuck with it. Also, did
I asked you in the meeting if you had insurance.
And the answer would be, Consuela?
No.
Yes, definitely checked in. And they said, no, you opted not to get the insurance because, hey, when will I never need it? I've never dropped a phone before. I should be... Oh, damn it.
Let me ask the room. We'll go around the room. God. When you see someone with a really jacked up, shattered phone, do you subconsciously pass judgment on them?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
Yeah. Locked up, 100%.
100%.
I say, get this unwashed, filth person
why.
Away from me.
I go, oh, God, look at your phone.
What have you gone through in your life to have a phone like that?
I always assume like
if your phone looks like that, what's your life like?
Yeah, what's your downstairs looking like? What tanglement of filth behind that buckle?
The first thought that comes to my mind is you're either incredibly clumsy or you get blackout drunk on a daily basis.
Has to be
that's
one of the
what
two.
I imagine.
One of the two, yeah. You're just a stumbling, bumbling idiot. That's just wandering around going, oh, I'm getting texts from people. Uh-oh, drop my phone again, stupid me. Or you're Mike Anderson at the cabin 15 shots in and just throwing it against the wall repeatedly.
Yeah, because maybe I've been really lucky since I've gotten iPhones, but I've never cracked a screen.
I haven't either.
This is the first phone I've ever cracked a screen on. For the most part, I've always owned an Android phone. I had the Galaxy, and now I got these Pixels. And for the most part, tapping on it, it's kind of plasticky, but then don't all the new iPhones, they're glass screens or whatever.
Yeah, I think this is glass.
Is that glass? Hold this thing. Oh. Mike, feel this phone. This is like holding on to a bar of soap. Is that thing not the most slippery effing phone you've ever held? It's like someone buttered it.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret now. They design phones to be broken.
Yeah, they're in cahoots with the OtterBox. So I get to have the reluctant stepdad sized phone case. You know what I might even do? I'm old. I'm turning 40 in February. I don't even care. I'm going to get the belt clip.
I will not allow you.
I'm getting the belt clip.
I will not allow
you. I'm doing it. I'm getting the belt clip, guys. That's it.
I think
reach
my
that
dad
age.
Has a belt clip.
I'm getting the belt clip. That's it. Let's all get belt clips. Hey, if I have something to clip it on back to.
Remember back when we all had flip phones, when you'd first buy your phone, it would come with like a leather case.
Oh my God, yes. And the amount of garbage that would get
leather.
Caught underneath
yeah.
of it, the underneath of that little tiny
yeah.
postage stamp size screen, the amount of dander, Dorito powder, weed fleckles.
But yeah, when you would get your flip phone, it would come with like a box of accessories that you'd use for a week and then throw out.
Yep. Did you ever have the earpiece that had the cable that went all the way back down to it? It was like Bluetooth, but not, it was Browntooth. Browntooth technology. But yeah, I judge those people. And now I'm amongst them. The leper island, the leprosy island of cracked phone individuals, I'm now there. Question 410-338-1098. You judge people with jacked up cell phones. You see a big old cracked screen thinking to yourself, come on, you got fresh shoes on and a nice car. Why are you holding a shattered screened iPhone 3? I remember when I first met Mudge, the front of her phone was gone. You just saw the chipset up top, the chipset at the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to literally pull her ass into a Verizon and say, you've owned this phone for 6 years. They will give you another one. Yeah, I think your new every two has been up 6 years ago. Get another one. Now she's got a fresh phone, and no one's judging. The reason we're talking about this is because I cracked my damn phone over the Halloween celebration Wednesday night. Walking around with the kids, dropped it, cracked the screen. And it's a deep crack, too. This is not just... this is not just like a surface level crack. I think this thing landed on some sort of effing stalactite, and I can actually start to see the chipset underneath of it. So
Mike just sent us an article, a study conducted by Match.com.
Oh, no.
It says that in a situation where you have a cracked screen, a study found that women are 86% more likely to negatively judge a date for having a broken smartphone screen.
There it is.
Hussies. All of you.
It's real.
Hussies.
The judgment is real.
That is. You said before we went to break with Keith earlier, if your cell phone's all jacked up, much like when you judge someone's screwed up teeth, you're thinking to yourself, what else has gone wrong with you?
Well, in that article touches on another interesting aspect of the cell phone game.
Yeah, Mike.
And that women also judge people that own Androids.
Yeah, as opposed to, that was the first part of the article.
So
I was just going crack screen because that's what we were talking about. But
yeah, I didn't even think about that, though. And I do subconsciously, when I see somebody with a Droid or a non-iPhone, I do.
It's very customized.
iPhone owners are about 21 times more likely to negatively judge a date who uses an Android
so
phone.
I'm doubly on Google. Great. I've got a cracked Android screen. I might as well just pick my nose and feed it to my date.
A texter wrote, my daughter and I break our screen covers on purpose so no one wants to steal them.
What?
They break their phones on purpose so no one will steal the phone. Where do you live?
What is Shepherd Pratt?
That is happening.
You know, it's the best way to not get your car stolen. Key something racist into the door.
Yeah. Like, okay. Slash all the tires.
Yeah,
so
that'll
no
keep
one steals your car.
Yeah, every time I go inside somewhere, I just fire my gun off into the engine block. There, that'll keep it safe. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I don't get it.
Yeah, people are saying I should definitely get the belt clip. I'm thinking I might do the belt clip for my
dad. My dad could tell you. I'm sure he could tell you where to get a great one.
Every dad ever could. They assign you one when you turn 40. Let's go to the phones, 410-338-1098. Let's go to James in Westminster. James, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
I had probably one of the coolest stories. I've had a 55-gallon drum of oil smash my phone.
It just dropped on your phone? Okay, what business are you in where you're around 55-gallon drums of oil?
I deliver auto supplies. I can't tell you the name of it, but it's like a privately owned company.
Okay.
And I deliver like oil, antifreeze, you know.
Right.
All the important stuff for a car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And? When I picked the drum up to move it, it fell out of my pocket and it dropped on the phone. I was like, oh, okay, I'll pick it up. And then the drum slipped and just body slammed it.
Dude, you weren't
when
kidding.
When I picked the phone up, the back of the phone was shattering, not the front.
Oh, wow. That is the best story.
That's the best story we've ever gotten.
The best story ever.
Mike, I am putting him on hold.
He did not oversell that.
You?
I didn't think it was going to be the best story ever, but then when he told it, you know what? I went, wow. That's probably the best story I've ever heard.
This might be the best story we've ever gotten.
Wow.
That was, Mike, could you do me a favor? I know you're busy. Could you transcribe that and put it on the website? Just, I want to hand out pamphlets with that tale.
And can you give me your car keys as a prize?
Yes, Mike. Give him
you
a
can
copy.
Actually have the car.
Yes, the car is yours.
2010 Ford Fusion Champagne.
It's the car of the year. Let's go to Tyler in Baltimore. Tyler, thank you for calling.
Yeah, guys. I've had the same cell phone for about 4 years now. And it's a Droid. It's a smartphone, and not a scratch on it. Not a scratch on it. And in contrast, my fiance, she goes through phones about every 2 months.
Oh, what?
Wait, what does she do?
Yeah, she. I don't know what it is, man. But it's just, it's a disaster. One disaster after another. I'm a truck driver over the road, and sometimes I try to call her, I can't get through, and then I'll get a call from her sister's phone or something, and she'll say, yeah, I dropped it again.
But she have hooks?
She's cheating on you.
I don't know what to do.
She's cheating on you.
That's it. She's screwing around on you, and she doesn't want you to get a hold of that phone. I'm sorry, you can't check my text messages because, whoops, I just broke it right in front of you.
Well, you know, I feel like women tend to carry their phones more often because women don't have pockets. They're always wearing dresses or pants that don't
have purses.
Well, yeah, but then you can't really get to your phone quick enough. That's my conspiracy theory.
Yes, women are pocketless. Let's go to Ron in VA. Ron, good morning.
Can actually shed some light on a little bit of confusion you guys had earlier. That story about the people who broke their screens, it's not their screen, it's a screen cover. Some screen protectors are laminate glass, and they crack real easy. I actually had that same problem. Within an hour of getting the screen protector on my phone, it got cracked by my keys.
Okay. Damn.
Within an hour. Okay, so why break it on purpose?
Well, because it's exactly like they said. If people see the cracked screen, they're less likely to steal the phone because that's more work they have to do to flip it. It's less fungible if it's got a cracked screen.
Is there like a big problem with phone theft? I mean, I mean.
You're damn right.
Absolutely.
There's a big problem.
There is a huge. Mobile phones are probably the second or third most popular black market item on the Eastern Seaboard.
Besides human.
Oh yes. Oh man. Oh my God.
Where did you get that from? That information from, sir.
That's amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
I actually used to work security, and that was one of the biggest theft items was the mobile phone, like private security, mobile phones all the time.
This guy. What do you do now?
On the Eastern Seaboard.
I work a warehouse job, and I actually make more money than I did working security, and that's where my story comes from.
Get that money.
I was catching flack for my broken quote-unquote screen when I knew it was just the screen protector, and my phone fell out of my pocket from about 20 feet up onto a bare concrete floor. Now, I also have it in a case. It lands flat on its back. The phone is fine, but the screen protector, which was already cracked, is now shattered into a million pieces. All my coworkers are giving me flack, and so I take the case off and peel the screen protector off and throw it away, and my screen is fine. My phone is fine. And they're all just like, what?
Well, that was definitely...
It's
informative.
Wow.
It's just people who talk fast really get on my nerves.
Mike says we got to go to line two. Who was that? What was that guy's name?
God bless you.
Godspeed, sir.
Hey, yes. Smash your phone on your head.
What the hell was Ron all about?
Do people who talk fast annoy you?
And he also had that just know-it-all tone to his voice.
That was the voice of a man that purposely cracks his own screen.
I would have loved to have been there the moment he peeled off the screen protector in front of everybody. Like, oh, you think my screen is cracked?
Well, look here. I have used illusion to trick you. Now, pardon me, my leather duster and I have to get back to the recumbent bike waiting out front. The medieval times calls.
Let's go to line two. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, I was calling because I noticed when if you get a first date with a girl and she's got an Android phone instead of an iPhone, you've got like a 50% higher chance of scoring on the first date.
Yeah, here we go. That's it. A bunch of slutty Android owners out there.
So you're saying that
that screen is cracked? If you notice that screen is cracked?
Oh, yeah, 75%.
That's definitely a one and done. Android, we'll call her back.
You are doing the dirty stuff.
Yeah, you're going from there to there. You're doing stuff in an order.
If she smokes menthol cigarettes and has a cracked Android.
Oh man. Oh,
yeah. Look out.
Watch it.
This hole here is the hole where you make the BN.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel behind the curtain Saturday morning, and we got into a heated debate from the mind of Mike Anderson, the Anderson Agenda. Is Friends a girl show? Friends ran from 1994 to 2004. Amazing show. Highly rated. Must-see TV. Thursday nights. NBC. Have you gone back and watched any, Mike?
No, not yet. Maybe I will this weekend now that we're off. But no, I haven't really watched any.
Will you be able to go in with a fresh, open mind?
I mean, obviously, I'm coming in with my preconceived notions of what Friends is.
Coming up, i.e.,
a girl show.
You will hear we stumble upon a bit of evidence that maybe we didn't think about beforehand because you were in high school, and I tried to describe not very well, which I'm having a problem with lately. My brain just doesn't work anymore, so I can't find the words for things. But I think being in high school kind of skewed your take on this because things in high school are very, you know, guy, girls. You know, the guys are into this or the girls are into this. It's can be very gender-based. And you would see the girls talking about Friends. And I think the guys were also watching it, but maybe weren't as inclined to talk about it because they just thought it was a girly thing. But then also, the high school you went to, I think maybe had a lot to do with it because... it was a very agricultural school.
Yeah, I think guys were into guy things.
But it really honestly
wasn't that different than any typical high school.
People drove tractors to high school, that's different.
There was like we had an agriculture section, but that was even an ag lot, they called it, where all the farmers would park. That was like maybe 10% of the school, if that. They were very cliquey, and quite frankly, they were just kids that wore Wranglers and button-up shirts and wore boots to school. But that really didn't epitomize what North Hartford High School was when I was going there. It was still very diverse, and still most people were just your average schmoes living in developments.
All right.
I really don't think it was that. It just seemed to me that a lot of my female friends and females I knew loved that show. And everything about it, image-wise, seemed very tailored towards women. The fact that everybody on there was beautiful, they were very stylish. The apartment was very posh. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. But
watch it tonight on a Saturday night.
I will. And it also spawned a bigger discussion, too, about what is a girl's show, what's a guy's show. I mean, what shows tailor to men or women? Because and it runs the gamut from, like, the man show, the old man show with Jimmy Kimmel back in the day, to, like, Sex in the City.
Or Lifetime, like networks. You can even go full networks. Yeah. Like, Lifetime is like a female-skewed network.
Or the Hallmark Channel now.
Hallmark. Here it is, the big friends debate from earlier in the week on Behind the Curtain.
Hey, what's that? Where's that coming from?
Hell yeah.
What is that?
Oh, here it comes.
All right.
How do we set this up?
Hold on.
So no one told you that was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you broke. Love locks me away. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. But it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. I'll be there for you.
Must-see TV Thursday nights.
Yeah, baby.
From the year 1994 to 2004, Friends.
Why do I know that that was the Rembrandts?
Because it's the theme song to Friends, which was one of the greatest TV shows of our youth. Our adolescence, our upbringing, must-see TV. I mean, I remember people, it was, I don't know how else you say it. It was must-see TV.
Was it on the same level? And Josh, do not come across me. Do not dive across this board at me. Was it on the same level as a Seinfeld?
I'm sorry.
100%.
I'm sorry, I think you said something in my bad ear. I know it was on the same night, wasn't it, as Seinfeld? Doesn't really matter, but I think that was part of must-see TV Thursday.
In the pantheon of, like, major American shows, I gotta say Seinfeld and Friends were 1 and 1A. I mean, depending on which part of the population you talk to, I think there was plenty of overlap in audiences. If you like Seinfeld, you like Friends, you like Seinfeld. And, I mean, Phoebe, Ross, Joey, Monica, Chandler, Rachel. I can still name all the cast members of the show.
Yes.
And Mike said in a meeting that Friends is what, Michael?
I thought it was a girl's show. And this came up because over the weekend.
I thought we were in 2018.
I thought this was a woke
world. We're dialing it back to 1994 through 2000.
Oh, okay. A show targeted at women, okay?
Where the world wasn't as woke and there were shows that. All right, yeah, let's just stop, okay? Some shows are targeted towards women, some are targeted towards men. Mike thought this skewed female.
Yeah, so I'm talking to Brett Hollander on WBAL 1090.
Noted female.
1-4. And he had texted me, I was a huge fan of Friends when I was younger, and I'm not ashamed to say that.
Neither am I.
And then I thought, you know, this might be a good topic because I always thought that this was a girl's show, but I know there's a lot of guys out there that like it.
You watched it as well, but you were afraid to say
No, I never got into it. My sister was a huge fan, really? Had all the DVDs, but I always thought that this was for women.
So then you really don't have a leg to stand on given that you've never really even seen it.
I mean, I've seen enough to know that it's not for me. I know that much.
Really? Why?
I just could never get into it. And like I said, I thought it was targeted at women, so I felt uncomfortable even being a viewer.
Okay, the show Charmed, which I also watched because I am a lady on the WB, that was a very lady-centric show. All-female cast, a lot of up with women, a lot of women empowerment.
Sex in the City.
Female show. Okay, the A-Team, skewed male.
Yeah, that's not a big secret here,
skewed
right?
Skewed male. But I felt like Friends with, I mean, and quite literally, numerically.
Numerically, 3-3.
Yes.
Three females, three males, right down the middle.
An even split. You had an even split of special guest stars. Winona Ryder, Bruce Willis, Reese Witherspoon, Paul Rudd. It seemed like it totally walked the line of just being for everyone.
And I think Mike had a little bit of a different experience with his with Friends because it came out when he was still in high school. So come Friday morning, he would go to school and it would seem like, you know, all of the girls were talking about
it. They were obsessed with
it. And all of the guys, they were probably still watching it, but they didn't feel comfortable talking about it for whatever reason. So he was still inside that like high school bubble where that's your world. And when you go to school the next day and that's the zeitgeist, that's what everybody's talking about. And that kind of skews your perception of things. Whereas I was already out into the world and I was doing my own thing. So I didn't have that experience where you're just surrounded by people that are talking about this one thing and it maybe makes you go, oh, well, maybe is female or maybe this is a girl, you know, quote unquote girl show.
A little bit.
Speaking of TV, we're talking old school sitcom Friends. It was on from 1994 to 2004. Remember they were the first cast, I think, to ever reach the $1 million mark. Every single one of them, all six of them, they signed the same contract. They were all getting $1 million. Was it $1 million?
Yeah, $1 million an episode.
An episode.
Yeah, and didn't they, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, I might be, how like the Jersey Shore did it, and we would love to, but damn our contracts, they all went in as an entity saying you pay all of us or you get none of us.
Yeah, that's leverage.
Yes, we botched that. They said, listen, you're going to pay each and every one of us, and if you don't, we're walking. Like, well, what choice do we have? Yeah, critical reception, pretty incredible. God, how many awards did they win? Did they win any?
The point is, Mike thinks it was during his experiencing of the airing of the show. Never watched it and thought it was a show that was geared towards women.
Yeah. Mike, let's also be honest. Went to a school with a bunch of people that drove their tractors with shotgun racks on them to school.
That's a very good point.
Okay.
But I mean, it was a pretty diverse school.
Yes. White, but tall white, short white, fat white, and hairy white.
Everything about... Well, I mean, and that's the other thing, too, about this show. I remember them getting flack for being an all-white cast. Remember that? They got some...
That these days. Oh, they'll bounce that show off the air quick. Where's the Vietnamese girl in a wheelchair?
Yeah, very little diversity on Friends. But everything about the show just screamed feminine to me. I mean, even as far as like the logo, Friends, with all the colors on there. The intro, I mean, the intro song.
Have you never wanted to splash around
in a fountain? Splashing in a fountain, Mike. Who amongst us?
Come on.
All wearing the same like monochrome outfits and jumping around on a couch and in the fountain. The whole thing just screamed that this was designed and manufactured for women to me. So I was surprised over the weekend when a male friend of mine said it was one of his favorite shows. And I'm like, what?
I stand lockstep with that friend.
Yep. Loved it.
Loved it. Every single episode, every Thursday night, must watch TV.
1996, out back of the Costco, Waldorf, Maryland, where we used to skate at the loading docks, just a bunch of wayward youth. What were we doing? Smoking weed out of a soda can, trying to get our older friend, Ben Hurd, to buy us liquor. He was 22, working on heel flips, talking about Friends. The whole Waldorf skate scene worshipped Friends. We'd watch 401 skate video. We'd read Trans World magazine. We'd wait for a new World Industries video to come out, and then we would discuss the ongoing relationship between Chandler and Phoebe.
I mean, Jennifer Aniston's. It was always very cold in the apartment.
Yeah,
remember that?
Well, wasn't always. There rumors that she used like nipple implants?
Yes, her nipples were always on display.
Mike, for a bonus point, don't look. What was the name of the coffee house that they went to?
Oh, easy.
Mike, dude,
so easy.
Well, it's like what's the name of the bar in Cheers?
Cheers.
Cheers. Yes. What's the name of the coffee shop?
Was it Java?
Central.
Perk. Central Perk. Yeah. Central Perk.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that barely.
There you go. God, think of the guest stars.
Texts say, I always thought Friends was for girls as well. I never watched it growing up, but my ex-wife got me into it, and I love that show. I watch the reruns on Netflix daily.
Yeah, maybe
Friends is a very balanced show. There's tons of jokes commenting on both sexes. It was a great show. Hit the nail on the head on all fronts, and honestly, that's what it says, on all fronts.
Well, let's see what we got here. Let's talk to Sean in Kent Island. What say you about Friends? Girl show?
Definitely.
Really?
I only watched it because my wife watched it. That's it. That simple.
Did you enjoy it?
Nah.
Really?
Really? I see, I loved it.
What were you watching instead? What tickled your fancy?
I don't even remember that time frame. I was too busy doing work.
Oh, wow.
He's such a man.
He's out there splitting logs.
But yeah, that's the thing. It seemed to appeal to women far more than men. Like I said, women kind of took ownership of this show, at least in my world. It was their show. They talked about it.
I think that's your perception.
Yeah.
I said, because you went to high school every morning after that.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the girls were all talking about it and the guys wanted to, but they were afraid to for some reason.
Maybe. Because
I was out. I was already graduated high school. I was starting college and we were just living life. And you didn't have that, you know, homeroom high school bubble experience. You were just free to do whatever the hell you wanted.
Yeah.
And experience things the way you want.
What say you, Sam, checking in from Pennsylvania? What's up, buddy?
I'd like to say that I would also have to agree with Mr. Anderson on this one.
Really?
And I believe that me and Mr. Anderson also went to the same high school.
See?
Aha!
It has something to do with it.
Turn this up, okay? Did you major in hay, wheat, or oats?
Actually, I drove my lawnmower to own the tractor to school.
I knew it! Oh, Mike, you grew up in a great part of the country. Why did you think it was a... Why did you think it was a female show?
I don't know. Just the guys just seemed a little feminine on there.
I got one of those.
I don't know.
They said the dudes were very, metrosexual and... Which, I don't know. Joey was basically a caveman.
Yeah, he was a dumb cronk of a dude.
And Chandler was, goofy.
Okay, Ross was a drippy little
Ross
sissy.
Ross was a drippy, sissy, metrosexual.
But yeah, Matt LeBlanc, Joey, he was a dude's dude. Dumb as hell, but a dude's dude. Thank you. Let's see what we got here. Fred in Owings Mills disagrees. Fred, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I want to side with definitely more of a chick show lean for sure. And I agree that the guys were a bit on the metro side. So in my humble opinion, chick show.
All right. Yeah. There it goes. God, let's go to Kelly in Baltimore County. Kelly, good morning.
No, this was definitely a show for guys, too. I mean, there was all the hot girls on there. That's
Courtney
why my
Cox?
Guy friends watched it.
Just listen to her last name.
Courtney Cox, Jennifer Aniston, even, what's her face, Lisa
Kudrow, who we hate.
Right.
Smelly Cat and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we said. It was three guys.
My boyfriend he used to love watching Desperate Housewives, too, with me, because it was all the hot chicks.
Yeah, I mean, Friends was three guys and three girls right down the middle. It was perfect.
Yeah. Now, I get Desperate Housewives, Wisteria Lane, but that show was, drenched in murder and backstabbing and weird,
I loved that show.
Desperate Housewives was an effing 10. The lady that kept her son chained up in the basement?
Oh, yeah.
That was creepy as hell. Yeah, it had a fresh coat of paint on the outside of it, but there was this underlying rot to the town.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that show was for just psychopaths, not even genders. I watched it also, and I regularly take an antipsychotic. Let's go to Andrew in PA. Andrew, good morning.
Hey, all I have to say is, that script geared a little bit towards females, but Jennifer Aniston was an absolute smoke show.
She was. Yeah. Back in the day, them nipples, that haircut.
Uh-huh. Baby hungry. Let's take one or two more, and we'll bounce. Let's go to Baltimore Joe, our buddy. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Hey, all right. So I told Mike earlier, love him to death. He's a great guy and everything. Great producer. Pay him more money. But this is not a chick show. It reaches all around. And when it first came out, I was fairly young. And then during the early 2000s is when I was first started getting into it. And I watch all the reruns all the time myself. And it's a great show. And like all the other callers, you can't go wrong with the hot chicks on there, except Courtney Cox. She's kind of ugly.
What?
You're an idiot.
Bite your tongue.
You're bad.
Now, Baltimore Joe. No, you're bad from the show.
You disparage.
Don't you call in for a week.
Good.
Now you're banned. You got yourself banned for a week.
Banned.
How dare you?
How dare you speak ill of that woman? How dare you? Know what just happened?
You know what? You're getting the ban hammer.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You're never
banned.
Allowed to talk to me again or my friends. You're banned forever, okay?
Not forever.
You're banned.
Until tomorrow.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Oh, I really got it going this time again, didn't I? Justin Scott and Spiegel Behind the Curtain. And coming up, you're going to hear the big ice pop popsicle debate. And
I wanted to get behind the curtain on this one specifically because it dealt with me, and I feel like I had a hard time. We did this in the 6 o'clock hour, and I had a hard time recovering from it afterwards, and I'm not sure why. The debate was, I was calling it an ice pop when having a discussion with my daughter, and my wife said, you might want to call it a popsicle. I'm from around here, and we call it a popsicle. It's not an ice pop. And I just felt like there was no need for a correction or a distinction. I feel like that they're so one and the same that it didn't matter. It's not like I was calling a bologna sandwich a Hot Pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I was just like, whatever. Like, what, really? And it turns out it's kind of maybe like a regional thing. But throughout the course of the discussion, I feel like it turned into like somebody texts. You know what it was? There was one text that said, Scott really needs to stop bringing things up because the listening audience always just turns on him. And then I become like a jerk or something. And
I thought you were the victim in this tale.
Well, there was one where, it was the one where I couldn't think of the thing that just happened in the recent past where the listeners turned on me and I brought something up and I was like, how is this? How am I the bad guy here?
How this goes so bad?
And I couldn't think of what it was, and it just popped into my mind. It was when I asked Mike to meet me at High Tops because I was having an event. I'm like, hey, you're right across the street. Why don't you come out and have a beer with me or have some food? Yeah. And I just went on the air to say how it hurt my feelings that I ask Mike a lot, and he never takes me up on these things. And then it got flipped around, and people like started coming at me. And I felt like there was a little bit of that happening with the popsicle thing. And I don't know. And I think it's my own fault. I don't think I do a very good job at, I don't know. I'm not good at, I guess I'm not good at this job or something, or I can't,
I don't know how crazy.
I don't know. But no, I think I don't know. I get confused as to what, I don't know. I guess maybe
in this case, it was because you're the outsider coming in. You're bringing your ice pop into our popsicle world.
Oh yeah. This is a city and state that it's drenched in colloquialisms. So when anybody from somewhere else brings in hero instead of sub, pop instead of soda, ice pop instead of popsicle, people draw a line in the sand, and the sand is stupid and the line is pointless. What we thought was pretty interesting, and you guys had a lot of different local sayings or references for stuff, is we got into semantics, ice pop or popsicle.
And for the record, you morons, get on the internet. You stupid idiots. Type in ICE space POP, hit search, and go to Wikipedia and see what it says. All right. Oh, semantics.
I'm in the mood for a sweet treat, Scott, but I don't want ice cream. I don't think I want any sherbet.
You want an ice pop, right?
I love an ice. Wait, what's that?
Yeah, that's the issue.
I'll take it.
And 410-338-1098. If you dealt with similar things, I'm a transplant to the area, right? I get it, but it's been...
You're Baltimore's favorite son.
I'm also
at this
a grown
point.
Man. I'm also a grown man.
Grown-ass man.
Grown-ass man. And it's been a while. It's been a minute since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter is... she buys lunches at school from time to time. She's been telling us about what kind of lunches she's getting, and what is she... We're making sure she's eating. You know, what'd you get for lunch today? What did you eat? How was it? She keeps saying that she gets these ice pops. And I'm like, what do you... You go, is this like part of the meal?
Like, so you get like the entree, the side, and a pop?
Yeah, like I know they give you milk, and I know they give you all this stuff. So I'm trying to figure out, A, are these things costing her extra? And she, you know, she doesn't know. She types in a little code.
Uh-huh. What?
Well, she's got like a little... 3-digit code that she types in, and it's attached to.
I just remember having a plastic bag of change angry old lady, and she'd put gray slop on a tray.
It's 2018. God, you put money on an account, they type in the thing.
Really?
That's so cool. And I'm just cool. I go, is this, you know, I'm, really? She doesn't understand all this. She goes, I just put in my code. And I'm like, well, the code costs me money, so I got to know what these ice pops are.
You're dipping into dad's 401k for a sweet treat.
Well, and also, I don't want my kid eating an ice pop every single day at lunch. Like, I mean, who does that?
I was going to say,
at lunch, you just have an ice pop?
Can they, governor, how many they have?
I don't know. I know nothing about it.
Are you allotted one, or is there just some fat kid from Linthicum shotgunning ice pops down his gullet instead of actual food?
So the point is, I'm having a discussion with my daughter at the table. I go, well, do your friends have ice pops? Like, are you the only one having, like, who else of your friends have an ice pops? And as we're having this conversation, a voice from behind me, from the kitchen,
There's only one other person in the house. There's only three of us. Mm-hmm. And me and my daughter are at the table. So you can figure out who this voice is coming from.
Shout out, Chiquita.
I just hear her go. You might want to call them popsicles. And I go, excuse me?
That's what I say again.
She goes, well, I'm from around here, and that's what we call them. We call them popsicles. I've never heard ice pop. So if you're telling her that she needs to ask about them, you might want to have her call them popsicles, because no one's going to know what she's talking about. I went, I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, say I'm again. Sorry.
In my good ear next this time?
You want to say that directly to my face?
Are you really saying this to me right now?
Let me unscrew my shoving hands.
And like I said, I'm a grown man, and I get that I'm not from around here, but don't come at me like that, bro.
don't get up in my, go get up in my space.
I see Mike has Googled.
Yeah,
what
I was
we
curious
were talking.
What would come up if I
an ice pop?
Googled
that's
it.
A freaking ice pop!
It's an
am
ice
I
pop.
Out of my mind? Like my head almost exploded when she said this to me. You might want to call them popsicles.
Let me flip the script.
What's the difference?
Okay,
it's the same thing. We're talking semantics here. If she goes into the school and she goes, "Hey," and she asks a question about an ice pop, they're not going to look at her like she's got eight heads. They're going to know what she's talking
Does
about.
Does anyone know what this little girl over here is yelling at me about?
I got a girl saying something about ice. What is it? Hey,
ice pop? You need ice.
What are you asking
for meth? Are you asking for ice cold meth?
Does anyone in here know what an ice pop is?
I'm going to need someone to translate this little goblin.
What is this girl saying? Ice pop. What is that? Oh, yeah.
You mean popsicle?
Oh,
it's called popsicle.
God, build the wall. Build the wall. And I was just like, really?
You it's wouldn't get semantics. Hot if you heard her say popsicle. You would not dare correct her and go, honey, I think you mean ice pop.
No, they're clearly interchangeable.
Yeah. I think you would know. Like, they're I don't think she's going to be
thing.
Ostracized from her friends at the lunch table if
like,
they hear
I
her say that.
When I moved down here, I did have to change a bunch of things I would say.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, we called a sub, we called it a hero.
Okay.
Like a sub sandwich, a Kogie, a grinder, a hero. We called it a hero in New York.
Yeah, you got to get a soda on the East Coast. Midwest, you're going to get some pop.
And here, they don't call it a hero. So I was like, well, I'm not going to continue to order heroes down here. I'm going to look like an idiot.
You grinder people freak me out.
Yeah, I don't get the grinder.
Put them on
so
an
I
just, island.
I call it a sub now, and I've, you know, changed that. But the popsicle ice pop thing I thought was a bit much.
Yeah, I didn't know. Is that a local thing?
I don't know. And that's why I need the listeners' help. Am I out of my mind or is my wife out of her mind?
I never heard the ice pop thing.
See?
I never heard that before.
Maybe she's right.
And you grew up around this area, Josh. You're a Maryland
He's
boy.
He's from around here.
Israel's favorite son. Shout out MoCo by way of Baltimore County and now Boston. If he said, Josh, reach into that dessert container and grab me an ice pop, do you think you'd have the wherewithal to grab an ice pop?
I would say, why is there a soda in the freezer?
Oh, because you'd say an ice cold soda.
Right.
Ice pop.
Right. But I say soda, but I know other people, like in other areas, will refer to soda as pop. So that's the only. But I've never heard of ice pop before. That's new. I'm going to start saying ice pop.
It's all ice pop now. Interesting angle here from our buddy Bobby Tropicana. Okay, when you go to copy something, you copy it on a what?
Huh?
When you copy a piece of paper. When you copy a piece of paper.
Photocopier.
Photocopier is the device. Most people would say Xerox.
Right.
This. That's the brand.
Well, that's what somebody's saying, that a popsicle is
a brand of ice pop. So ice pop is correct. Popsicle's the brand. So actually, if you want to break it down, you're correct. They're all ice pops. Popsicle is the brand.
This is heated. Texts are flying in right now. Oh, a popsicle has a stick and ice pop does not. Disagree. An ice pop can have a stick.
You're thinking of freezer
Giant
pop.
Giant sells ice pops. It's on the box.
Freezer
it's
pops.
It's on the box. Right. An ice pop is the generic name for it. Popsicle would be the brand name. An ice pop is just ice on a stick. Flavored ice on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
That's like ice pop. Right there. Whatever Mike has on his screen right there, that's a freaking ice pop.
God, shout out to the cherry flavor, man. The purple doesn't taste like much.
But maybe I'm crazy. Speaks has never heard of it. People have never heard of it.
There's smoke pouring out of the phones right now. We have definitely touched a nerve. Like when I moved from Southern Maryland, that
mosquito-riddled swamp I grew up in. We didn't say much different than they do in Baltimore, but I had to pronounce things different. The two big ones, I now say syrup instead of syrup and raccoon instead of raccoon, were the two big ones that people were making fun of my meth-ingesting ass about.
Somebody says, I'm totally on your wife's side, Scott. I even thought it was funny sounding when you said it. Somebody says, it's popsicle, bitch.
Jesus. It's the man's wife,
hurtful.
Sir.
No, she's talking about me. Saying me.
Oh.
Calling me a bitch.
That's not necessary, but hilarious. If you search Ice Pop, it brings up an image of the popsicle brand of the treat. From Nutrition Facts, an Ice Pop is a water or milk-based frozen snack on a stick.
Ice Pop.
Ice Pop. If you go to the Wikipedia page, a green ice pop, and then it breaks down the different brands, such as Popsicle, Freeze Pop, Icy Pole, Ice Drop. It's got many names, but across the world, it is known as the Ice Pop.
Thank you!
Let's go to the phones, 410-338-1098. Let's go ahead and correct Matt here, because he's wrong. Matt in College Park, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, buddy.
Hey, Matt. Go ahead, sir.
So, Ice Pop is that's the one in a little plastic tube that you squeeze up with your fingers.
You're thinking Freezer Pop, sir. That is a Freezer Pop.
Freezer Pop.
Yes,
Thank you, and good day, sir.
Good day to you. I said good day. Yeah, Matt in College Park. He might want to hop on back to college and major in desserts.
Having fun.
Let's go to John in Catonsville. John, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. Everybody, Spiegel, you doing good?
I'm well. Thank you.
All right. So this is Picture Bitch Wednesday on a Thursday. I got to change it to a look. People need to learn to adapt. I mean, I hear someone say pop or someone say soda. Hey, that's cool. Where are you from? That's cool that you say it that way. The inability to adapt. When someone says, oh, it's this. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You need to get walking.
Why couldn't she just... My wife had to be like, you might want to call it a popsicle. Okay, because I'm from around here, and we don't call it Ice Pop.
Ice Pop is the generic term for the dessert, says Onuma on Twitter. We accept that people say Kleenex, but tissue is just as understood.
Yeah, I just thought it was understood. I don't think she felt... I don't feel like she needed to have
scold
such a
you?
Tone and scold me.
Coming up, if you're holding, continue to hold. Where do you fall in the war to settle the dessert score?
And what arguments have you had over just semantics like this? Regional based or whatever they may be?
Exactly. Oh, it's not called a chipwich. It's called a burger or vice versa. 410-338-1098. If you're holding, continue to hold. We'll get to your call.
Justin Scott and Spiegel on AnyRockNanyLine.com. And yes, yesterday I was having a discussion about my daughter and her school lunch, and I was using the term ice pop, and my wife felt the need to jump into the discussion and correct me and say, you might want to call it popsicle.
Here
I'm
comes
from around
my opinion.
Here. That's what we call it. And I don't think one is right, and I don't think one is wrong. I think they're both fine. I think they're both acceptable. I think it's just semantics, and I just feel like, A, I don't like being corrected, and B, I don't feel that there was a need to correct me.
Is this the classic, and this is something I've had discussions with the beautiful Mudge with, don't think I didn't hear you fart last night at 2 a.m. Not what you say, but how you say it. It wasn't the fact that she said, hey, around here we call it a popsicle, you call it an ice pop.
Yeah, she could have just said, that's weird, that's funny.
I call it popsicles.
Yeah.
You call it ice pops? Okay,
I've never
popsicle,
heard that before.
Pop.
That must be like a New York thing, and I'm from here, and I call it a popsicle. Oh, that's cool. That's cute. That's sweet. Isn't that funny? Isn't that cute, Scott? I love you so much. Isn't that great how we just...
Make love to
we
me.
We both knew what we were talking about, but we just say different things because we're from different parts of the country, but yeah, we found each other, didn't we? We found each
Take
other.
Take me right now in the living room.
But no, it wasn't that. It was...
Take me!
You might want to call it pop. I'm from around here.
Hell yeah.
Somebody says, that's what wives do, Scott. They correct.
God, I had no idea how dumb I was until I got into a relationship.
My wife's from Long Island. I am on a full-on battle with her and her parents to make sure my kids speak the way we do in Baltimore versus New York. The biggest sticking point is barbecue versus grill. I think up in New York, we just use a catch-all phrase for bar. We say we're going to barbecue, but it's not really barbecue. It's just grilling.
Yeah.
Somebody had a two-hour argument over sorbet versus sherbet.
You cut someone out of the will because they ask for a sorbet instead of a sherbet. In Tennessee, they call a skunk a polecat.
Ooh.
All right. And also, Becky, shout out. My mother-in-law refuses to refer to a refrigerator as anything other than the icebox.
I'm from Jersey. My boyfriend is from here, and he can never get over the fact that I call athletic shoes sneakers. According to him, they're tennis shoes. That is a super regional thing.
Yeah.
Here in Baltimore, they call them tenors, baby. You gotta get yourself a pair of tenors. And that's another one. I wonder what my daughter is going to be raised calling them, because I called them sneakers my whole life.
Yeah.
And around here, they call them tennis shoes. What do you call them?
I call them sneakers.
Sneakers. I think that's a city thing, is they call them
sneaker.
Tennis. No matter what it is, they call them tennis shoes. They're athletic shoes, but they just call them tennis
shoes. I've never once played tennis, but I have snuck. Exactly. I have snuck.
Another one I noticed when my daughter was born is that they call diapers, but they don't call them diapers. They call them by the brand name, which is Pampers. They say, get the Pampers.
Can you hand
Much
me
like
one of
the
those,
icicle, my ice pop. Popsicle debate. Uh-huh. They call it. They use the brand name. They call it Popsicle.
Grab me a tissue, Scott. Can I have one of those tissues?
No, that's Kleenex.
I'm looking at a tissue, though.
That's Kleenex.
Right. Guess I don't get one. 410-338-1098. Let's see who's been holding for a second. Talk to our old pal Kevin in Calvert County. Kevin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Spiegel.
Good morning. Oh, you know, just call me Josh. My father was Mr. Spiegel.
I was just trying to show you the respect you deserve.
Oh, there we go.
That's so nice.
Good form.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with my father, and we've both never heard of ice pops.
You've never heard of an ice
pop? We've always called them popsicles.
See?
Now, would you be able to figure out what an ice pop was if someone
I could figure out what an ice pop was if somebody had said it. Yeah, I could.
Got you.
I think it's just a like a New York thing, or like, you know, people call it pop down, you know, west,
right,
and all that stuff.
Regional.
Yeah, we got another one about that too. Where is this at? Mr. Jason Jarrett says, in certain circles down here in the dirty South, Coke is used to be referred to as any can of soda. Any can of soda.
Yes, a Coke.
Hand me a Coke. What kind of Coke you want? A Sprite. Can you get me a Coke Sprite, please? My friend Oscar refers to coffee as Coke, and he stays up for 13 hours at a time. Let's talk to Jonathan in North Carolina. Jonathan, you checking in from North Kakalaki?
Yes, sir.
What's up,
it
boy?
Is.
Ric Flair country.
Yeah. So how y'all doing this morning?
Very well.
Good. How are you, sir?
You going doing good.
I love you, by the way.
By the way, I have no idea what you're about to say, but you're already going to be the best caller of the day.
Are you from North Carolina?
Yeah, from Asheville, but we moved down to Mooresboro.
Why are you listening to us, a Baltimore radio station?
I drive through there all the time. I'm a truck driver, and y'all's cracking me up every morning.
My guy. Hey, thank you for doing the Lord's work, hauling goods up and down.
Yeah. But my wife calls oil. And I call it oil.
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 Like the King's English. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I call furniture, and she calls it furniture.
Furniture? I've never heard furniture.
What is that?
Warsh.
Warsh? How about wooder?
Warsh.
Wooder? That's another big one.
Yeah, I mean, that's more just like a dialect pronunciation type thing.
And I'm just telling you right now, because this is a huge thing around here, and I don't know why it puts a B in my bonnet, Jaguar doesn't exist. That's not a pronunciation.
I don't like that.
It's Jaguar, or the British version, Jaguar. People around these parts love to think that the rich folks are driving Jaguars, W-I-R-E. That's just not how to say it. Let's go to, thank you for the call, buddy. Thank you for checking in
with
us.
Somebody wants to know why my daughter was eating Freezy Pops for lunch. And that was the whole start of this conversation. If we dial it all the way back to how this got started, I was sitting at my kitchen table with my daughter going, what's the deal with the ice pops? You keep talking about having ice pops for lunch. Why are we eating ice pops? I need to know what is going on here.
Yeah, are you getting any type
of
nutrition?
I'm not down with that either, Texter. No kid just has an ice pop every day for lunch. Apparently my daughter does, because there's a thing there and she just grabs them. She's only been getting school lunches for like a week now.
Mm-hmm.
So she's still figuring out how to navigate it. And I guess they just have a thing there where you can open it on your own and grab an ice pop. And I'm just like, well, no. And that's when I got corrected by my wife saying it was a popsicle. But
I may be the elementary schools in cahoots with the insulin industry. Yeah.
Just shoving a bunch of diabetics out the door. Let's go to line four, our friend Phil in Overly. Phil, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey.
Doing all right. So I used to skate, you know, inline skates, you know, go to skate land, stuff like that.
Ooh, sorry. You used to about inline that. Skate?
Really? Sorry about that.
Like inline skate? Yeah. Like rollerblade?
Right, right.
Really? Cool.
You got hung up on.
No! Yeah. That's policy around here, okay? You grab the boot, you get hung up on.
Oh.
Let's go ahead and talk to Mike in Baltimore City. Okay, hopefully you've never gone skitching. Let's talk to Mike. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing, bud.
Yeah, both are correct. I mean, you want to be know the truth about it. I think the problem is, dude had a problem with his wife correcting him in front of his door.
I think that might have something to do with it, Mike.
No, I just...
It's not that big of a deal. Which one is, you know,
I don't give a rat's ass either. First of all, I thought it was an interesting talk topic for the radio show, sir. And second of all, I just felt like they're so interchangeable that there was no need for a correction. Like, she knew what I meant. Why do you need to stop the conversation and go, you might want to call it Popsicle? And I'm like... You know what I'm talking about. Everybody, like, she knew what I was saying.
I think our good friend.
And
Big
I think
Tall.
That if my daughter went to the school and said ice pop, there wouldn't be any confusion there. I don't think the people in the lunch room would have looked at her like, I'm sorry, we don't know what you're talking about. I think it would have been fine. That's my point.
Scott, we might need to get your daughter into speech therapy. We are concerned about her ability to properly communicate. She asked for, and let me read this correctly. Ice pop. And
yeah, that's the
it
root
caused
of the
a bit
and
of a
yes,
tizzy.
Who amongst us likes being corrected? I mean, really?
I'm pretty great at it because my entire life is spent mispronouncing and getting facts wrong. Our buddy Big Tall Mike checking in line seven. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today, Spiegel?
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Yeah, no, I'm with Scott. I mean, they're interchangeable. I've never heard ice pop before, but... I know what it is. That's so weird.
I mean, I guess it's, you know, now I realize that it's just a regional thing. And my wife said, like, I'm around here. We don't call them ice pop. And so many people have never heard ice pop.
Now, ice pop is an existing phrase. Popsicle is an existing phrase. Mike, your wife calls window wiper fluid what?
Car spit.
Car spit?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I think she just made that
spit.
Up.
Yeah. The
what? No, she says that. She calls it that because it's shorter than windshield wiper fluid.
What? I don't call it spaghetti.
More efficient use of words, I guess.
I call it long-ass rice.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Jarrett Johnson, I-95, a badass on the gridiron, doing amazingly up in the booth alongside Jerry Sandusky, and as it turns out... much like our own Scott, bit of a grill master. I'm glad we're talking about this. I wanted to share this with you and get your thoughts on whether or not I should leave my family and start a Match.com profile. You have a big green egg. So does JJ. During weather that we have right now, it's rainy, it's funky. You have a pretty nice cover, I'm assuming. Something to keep it protected, right? Okay. I have a Weber Genesis gas grill. The basic bitches of grills, but it gets it done for what I need to get it done. I go away to Vegas about a week back. Mudge likes to grill meats even when it's cold, so she'll just run outside, turn on the grill, come back out, drop some meat on it, whatever. She does that while I'm gone. Doesn't put the cover back on. Thing gets rained on for like 4 days. Ooh. And not too happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Got rained on for four days. Not happy about it. And I don't know quite.
I don't really have a problem with that.
How to approach it.
I don't know. I mean,
it ain't a green egg.
I didn't have a cover for my green egg. I got it in.
But it's mine.
July.
Uh-huh.
And I just got a cover for it this past week. So July, August, September, October, it sat outside.
Oh, did it get rained on?
Yeah.
How do they hold up?
I mean, it's just rain.
But you know what I think, though? I think with that thing being porcelain, more porcelain than metal. I mean, the Weber is almost entirely just aluminum and
I have
whatever else.
My gas grill that sits right next to it, and that's like a Brickman or something like that, and I've had that thing for 10 years.
and it sat outside for all 10 years, and a good portion of that time it probably didn't have a cover on it because I was just too lazy to put it back on. So,
this is the first grill I've ever owned.
I don't have a problem with it.
So this thing's going to hold up?
Yeah,
like
you're fine. It got rained off for 4 days.
God.
They're built to sit outside, man. And how much does the cover really help?
It's pretty good.
I mean, there's moisture that gets in, and you know what I mean? It gets wet. Trust me, it gets pretty penny
on that cover. I actually bought a nicer cover than I did grill.
Yeah, that's when I got the cover for the Green Egg. I was on Amazon and I went, you know what? You could see the quality. You know what I mean? Like, okay, there's one for $30 and then there's one for like $50 and then there's one for $70 and you could just look in the picture and see the quality go up.
Yeah, so one's made out of Saran wrap. The other is Kevlar. I'm going to get the nicer one for the thing I spent $1,000
on. I think you're fine. I think you need to just let that one go. Say, hey, next time.
Hey.
Put the cover on.
To the moon, Mudge. To the moon. Coming up, our own I-95 Jarrett Johnson is a grill master. Please, Mike, if I can get a dossier on this I-95 fellow, he's a killer, y'all. I want to find out who he is.
Jarrett Webster Johnson, ladies and gentlemen.
Webster.
Jarrett Webster Johnson joining us in studio.
Good morning,
Jarrett.
God blessed hell, I wish we could talk to you under brighter circumstances.
Let's talk about something else.
House fishing.
That's good. Did you know I am a now award-winning rib cooking champion?
Shut up.
What?
Take it away.
Okay.
You firing up that big green egg, son?
Bro, I entered a big green egg rib competition and smoked them.
Really?
Literally and figuratively.
Are you going to be a competitor?
I got a belt and a coat. And a blazer.
Oh, the green blazer's part of the prize,
too. It's like a 42 short. I'm like a, you know.
The blazer is way too small and looks cheap, and the belt looks cheap. This is not a real competition.
What?
That is not
How is that a real competition?
That is between you and your buddies.
Was I competing against other cooks?
Who was it? You and your buddies?
Huh?
Was it you and your buddies?
No, it wasn't.
So you just went to a Salvation Army and bought a green jacket, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I'm gifting this to me because I have made meat. That it looks like you made that joke.
So I was.
Hold on. We'll get to the Steelers, Ravens. We'll do that when Millsy comes in here in a little bit during sports.
Yeah.
Jarrett Johnson, part of the Ravens broadcast team in studio, will address what happened yesterday in a little bit. But first, rib champion.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you the backstory. So, the place in Florida where I bought my green egg, he is obviously a big green egg distributor. He's also he sells like tile and like all these other household clients, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always dealing with builders, subs, you know, whatever. And so about 10 years ago, his guys that he would sell green eggs to that like got really into it, like I did, he started a little friendly competition. You know, hey, let's get some. Well, it's grown over the years and it's become this massive party. And they bring out like real like cooking or like, you know, chefs to like.
Yeah. Like how many people take part in this thing?
There was 10 teams.
Okay.
And they bring out like five chefs as judges, but they, you know, they have a. You know, not as well as the guys in the competition. They have a cook there because he sells all these outdoor cooking.
Yeah.
So they fire up all the outdoor, like they have a, like a display for all their like outdoor grills and smokers. They got like three chefs over there just cooking food all day. Hung out all. It was awesome.
I didn't know you could cook. I mean, obviously you can grill. Anybody can slap a piece of meat on a grill.
Listen,
but
when it comes to football and other things, I'm pretty humble. I am very arrogant about my cooking. Like,
go off,
obnoxiously
King. Go
arrogant.
Off, King.
Oh,
hell yeah. And I've said the same thing because on the air, I'll always talk about how I'm a good cook and I know how to cook and I can cook my ass off. And God forbid you say something like that. People think you're just like an arrogant ass. But it's like, if you believe it and you know it to be true, like, I mean, I'm not like going to win any awards, but I have.
Oh, he has, and he does. Yes, there he goes. Award-winning grill master Jarrett Johnson joining us in the studio.
So you made ribs, and you beat 10
So there was three categories. There was shrimp, which was weird. I didn't compete in shrimp, but I should have because I could have won. There was a wild card, which I thought I had on lock.
Was wild card? Do whatever you want.
I can't tell you.
Can you write it down?
Just tell us what you did. Was it a mahi?
All right. I smoked mahi. It's weird. I smoke a chuck roast. Like, you know, your mom would do a roast with potatoes. And I think roast sucks.
It does. That's why you got to cook it for a really long time.
So even when it's cooked right very long, I think it's very bland.
It
and
is.
Just, okay, what? So I got a chuck roast because my wife loves roast. And I was like, I'm going to smoke, and I smoke this chuck roast.
Do you inject it with anything?
Yeah. No, it's got so much fat in it. I just season it real heavy, put it on the smoker for 2 hours, wrap it up in tinfoil, let it sit for another three. And then it's kind of evolved over, and now I make a chuck roast. It's a beef tacos. I'd make like this cheese sauce, and then I pickle green peppers and cherry tomatoes and put that on top of some avocado.
Look at these hands.
I'm telling you, I was walking to the other grills laughing at their wild cards.
Damn.
And some loser won.
What's that on your grill, Jared?
It's a penis!
Oh, man, but the chuck's looking good. Do you do anything like the potatoes and the vegetables like what would be in a roast?
No.
Nothing? So you didn't win the roast with the
wild card?
I came
in second. It was like I
what
was
came in first?
Some, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't even
listen.
Look.
You have to.
I was so mad.
I was so
arrogant and celebrating and like screaming at the other competitors.
Jared, you're better than that. You're a competitor.
I'm not.
Listen,
no,
to me.
You're not being petty, bitch.
Because you
be
need,
a petty bitch.
Listen, you need to know what the other guys are doing if you're going to beat them next year.
I didn't think it mattered.
You
got to
pay
now
attention.
I know. Now
you
got to
flip that grill.
But you won the rib category.
I won rib.
Wow. Do you do the 3-2-1 method? Smoke them for three, wrap them for two, and then on the grill for one?
No, so I didn't get the cut of ribs that I want. I got like the...
Did you pull off that silver skin? You got it.
No, I didn't. I don't doctor them up, man. You don't have to. When you're stunned, like, I can't get out of my coat.
You just throw them on there.
Oh, help. Mike,
here's what I do. I smoke for 2 out. I'm sorry, Spiegel.
Mike, help him out of his coat.
Can we help him out of his pants and jacket?
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Josh, coming any closer to a decision on the new vehicle, which, pardon me, if we talked about it, I don't recall, are you going to lease again or buy?
You know, I not positive yet. I
leased my last vehicle, first time ever.
Oh, how was that?
I mean, you've leased before too, right? I've always just owned, and I said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to try a lease here.
I leased myself, and then I got someone pregnant by accident and had to move way far away, so my mileage was going to be nuts and had to break a lease and pay a lot of money. So, Josh, don't do that.
Yeah, I'll probably lease.
Yeah. It is kind of nice just to be able to, like, hey, here's your stupid car back. Give me a fresh one.
Yeah, it's like a finite situation, a finite thing. So that's a situation that's finite.
It's a finite situation.
So you know what's happening, and then there's pressure to do something at the end of it.
Two-door, four-door?
If that makes any sense.
Also, how long? What mileage do you have on your leases, if that's too personal a question? Usually it's like, what, 10, 12, or 15?
Yeah, I think I usually go for 15 a year just because I'm nervous. In the past, I have, when I actually had somewhat of a life, would go over the allotted mileage. But now I usually am way under.
Way under.
Because I don't go anywhere.
Wow, Josh, we're back from 2 years worth of a lease and you drove 62 miles. That is un-effing believable. Well, we look forward to hearing what the new car will be.
Maybe it'll be a Chevy.
Oh, we won't hear about it.
He won't.
He'll just pull up one day.
In a gold Cadillac.
It'll all be done.
Hell yeah.
It'll be a monster truck.
Yeah.
Something completely outrageous, and he'll tell us nothing.
Yes.
It'll be
four Lime scooters taped together. All right, behind the curtain, Josh is thinking about getting himself a new car. Let's go ahead and get down to brass tacks. Josh, car.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
baby.
Rolling,
I'm going to touch your butt with my hands.
You know what time it is.
You got that beautiful red coupe out back. I've kind of gotten used to seeing that when it's not in the parking lot, and I realize we have some half-cocked fill-in to fart their way through the program. I just want to sit in my car and drink. But I may not be seeing it much longer because it's time for a new car.
Boys!
Yeah!
Got that lease up.
The lease is up.
Hell yeah, dude.
I have to start looking for a new method of transportation. And
horseback.
Yes, I would love to go horseback. Or emu.
Emu.
And I love, I've really grown to love I love my car. I really love it. It's very comfortable, and I'm used to it. And once I get used to something, I am used to it and never want to change.
Right.
A creature of habit.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, if you remember, I've had this car for 3 years. The car previous
was pretty much the same exact
right.
car.
Right. This is like two or three in a row now where you just basically pulled in. You said, that one, the lease is up. Give me the same thing. Yeah. Sign me up. I don't want to do any paperwork. I like this. This is what I like. Get me in the same thing. And you just sign some stuff and you're out.
Yeah. So I know I like red. And
you do. You do like red.
Fire engine red.
Fire engine red. The lips of a Vietnamese whore.
Yeah. And I have that's why I have a ladder on my car.
Hell yeah.
And I,
you're not a flamboyant guy either, which I find funny about your cars, because you dress conservatively, comfortably, but conservatively. You're not a flashy guy. I'm in here with all kinds of stupid graphical t-shirts. I'm almost positive I'm wearing a Kenny Omega Bullet Club t-shirt today because I'm 11 years old. But your cars are bright, fast, sports car, luxury car, spoilers on them. It seems like you kind of let your freak flag fly a little bit when it comes to your cars.
Yeah, I guess I just like the color red.
Filled with cocaine.
For a car.
And so Mike and I were talking in the back because, you know, we know that you like the car you have now, right? It's a certain brand. It's a certain type. It is considered a luxury
type. It's a nice car. It's a very nice car.
Yeah, it's a nice car. It's a luxury brand.
It is?
Of course it is.
Okay. Hell yeah,
it's Infiniti. It's an Infiniti, and that is a luxury brand.
A high-end Infiniti.
But then we were talking about, you know, maybe Mike started throwing around some even higher-end luxury brands.
Mm. Oh, God.
And I went, there's no way. Listen, the man, you know, there's a budget involved, right, and everything, and I don't think he would ever do it. And then Mike goes, well, you know, you could find, like, a nice used one for a certain amount of money. And I said, Spiegel would never drive a used car.
Some car that's been farted in,
yes,
and sexed on,
right,
and sneezed in.
You don't know
and
what's happened in there. Would you ever be able to feel fully comfortable in a car that
you know
has been driven before and you don't know what that person did in there?
It's not even a concern about germs or
farts,
contamination. It's just that I don't want to, you know, I just want it new.
Yeah,
you're right. I wouldn't get a used. Unless it's something like a little SUV that I could ride in the snow.
Mm. Right,
and,
a beater.
Yeah, because I don't think I would want to drive an SUV year round.
Like, Scott's got the Tacoma, beautiful truck. Then he's got the S2000s, fun to zip around in. Huh. Have you thought about maybe living that kind of life? Or instead of getting one new vehicle, you maybe get two used ones, like a small SUV for the snow, but then a fun zip around whatever, like like that new Miata. That hardtop Miata looks like a fun car to drive.
I'll tell you what, I'm putting it in the hopper.
Yeah?
It just went in the hopper.
He wouldn't. I don't think he'd fit in that. No offense.
The old him
was very tall.
The new
you're
him,
a large
right?
frame gentleman.
Yeah, your slim life journey doesn't shrink your height.
So I'm not a complete expert on cars.
Can I tell you why you shouldn't get a used one?
Okay.
Because I own my car right now, and do you know what I've done in it?
What?
This.
Oh, God.
Yep, I've done that. Look at my hand.
See that?
That's gross.
I've done that. And yes, Someone's going to own this car after me. And that will have happened in their car. So let's get you a new one.
I'll be making a decision shortly.
You're going to pull up in the same exact car.
It's
going to
be a red coupe. It'll already be pre-dog haired.
Let's ask this. I know in the past you have batted around the idea of a convertible. And
yes,
when you were away not too long ago, you actually rented a convertible. And you drove around in a convertible, and you've always wanted a convertible. And one of the reasons you didn't get one was because you said it was the line of sight were not good. There were a lot of blind spots. And
right,
I said, look, if you're buying a convertible, you're not worrying about blind spots.
Yeah.
You're just living life.
Yeah, and the other
is
fear,
that on the table at all? Or what's the other fear?
It's on the table, but
the other fear is that you would be crushed or
something? Yeah, tire. Crushing.
You can get
me
a hardtop convertible.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, if you get a convertible, you got to get one that can drive in the snow, unless you have an SUV too.
That's true.
But I don't know. I don't really want that many. I don't think I want to. I think I'm a one car
kind of guy.
Can I ask too? Do you enjoy having the coupe? Not just because it's a sleek looking automobile, because a sedan with four doors encourages people to, hey, we can get a ride with you, right? I will say it's one of the reasons I got a Honda Accord coupe, because I just can't put the kids in the back seat or a car seat. I guess we've got to drive your battleship, Mudge.
Yeah, I used to, I mean, years ago I had a Honda Accord and I think a Nissan Altima. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. So I had four doors. But then when I got this one, the two-door, I just liked it. And, I mean, it fits well into my lifestyle since my life is so empty.
Oh, God. So I just don't need
that many people. I don't have any. I got the dog. The dog is back there.
You know what could be a... We're gonna.
I think you should get a pickup truck like me. You look great in a pickup truck.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a pickup truck.
I think you get a luxury sedan, man.
What if I keep this coupe and I just get wheels that elevate the car 10 feet up?
Oh, like a monster coupe.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
Bigfoot, but Bigfoot's toenails are painted.
That's happening.
There you go. I mean, I suggested some cars to you the other day that I feel like are real sexy. I feel like, you know a car I really like? There's some beautiful Chevys out there. Gorgeous Chevys out there.
Yes.
You seen that 2018 Cadillac ATS?
Yeah, to get Cadillac.
Buddy.
You belong in a Cadillac.
You are a Cadillac
guy.
Oh, my
God, he's right.
Cadillac?
Get a Cadillac.
Have you seen them nowadays?
Isn't that for old people?
No.
No, not anymore.
Josh, look at this.
They've reinvented themselves.
Brother, get a Cadillac, kid.
For real.
Or a Chevy. Chevy has a beautiful new line of vehicles that you look great in.
Yes.
Cadillacs. Though, buddy, listen, you and I might get an argument because I say, hey, Josh,
which one you
save
which
some
one
vagina
you,
for the rest of us.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at that ATS, kid. The Cadillac ATS Coupe 2018. Let me swing that around on you. Joshy.
ATS.
Buddy.
Oh, there it is. Mm-hmm.
I wish they did an ATM. You follow what I'm talking about?
Well, I like the ATS-V.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you get the CTS-V?
Yeah.
It starts at a reasonable $87,000.
$87,000.
Oh, my God. I almost swallowed my tongue.
What? $87,000? Paul Mittermeier, what do you drive? We're getting to sports in just a second.
A rickshaw.
A Honda Accord.
Hey, shout out.
We talked about that.
Brothers in Accord.
Super old,
Honda
right?
Accord. No, well, it's a 2010, but it's got the sunroof, the leather seats, heated seats, all the remote start.
Yeah. Hey.
When they picked up the phone, they said, hello, Sergeant Baker, and I said, hello. Yeah. All right, well, stick around. Coming up, we're going to do some sports with Mittermeier.
The Cadillac XT4 crossover.
Oh, I have seen that.
It's 34,000 speaks. Okay. Very reasonable.
Very affordable, Josh.
Well, you figure it out. Whatever you choose, we'll be happy for you. But we're always just fascinated by you and your vehicles.
Oh.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Well, we like doing these behind the curtains to go ahead and showcase some stuff that went just so well, it's worth playing twice. But occasionally we got to do one like this, where the damn thing just didn't go great. And
not on us, though.
Nah, well, a little bit is on, and I'll explain. I think you'll agree. Paul said midget on the air on Thursday. A guy whose son is a little person gets offended. Writes an email to us. I'm done listening to you guys. Screw you guys. Screw you guys. The whole deal. And by the way, you're never done listening to us because I will make fun of you on the air. And then you'll continue to check back in.
Is that how he led? Because I didn't see the email. I don't think I ever was privy to this email.
He was sending us the Facebook message.
Oh, because if he leads like that, then that's hard to come back from. That's hard to get this guy on the air. I would have, if I was producing the bit, I probably would have not got the guy on the air.
Well, you know what? Here's where I think we screwed up. And where we screwed up was... You have suggested in the past, I think we should do them more, when we have a wild card, a local listener, a new whack packer, somebody like that, we should do pre-screened phone interviews where Mike actually sits down with the person and talks to him literally for 2 or 3 minutes on the phone. What's your stance? What are you thinking of to get this guy's mood or this woman's mood? And he can come back to us and say, this guy ain't going to play ball. Or, oh, man, this guy's a real character. We got to put them on. His voice is weird. He's got a great sense of humor. This segment coming up would have benefited from a pre-interview because we would have picked up immediately. This dude's not down to play ball. This guy ain't going to have fun. As much as I can message him and tell him to, which I did, I could show you the thread. I said, let's have some fun or we'll bust Paul's butt and, hey, you educate us, but we're going to, I even said theatric. Let's be theatric about it. And nah.
Yeah, I don't think he I mean, you got to remember we're in the business, so we know what all that means and we know how to do that. He's just the regular guy.
Yeah, he's a civilian.
And it's asking a lot of a civilian to
do that, especially when something, when the subject matter is hit so close to home for him, and and you'll hear coming up is so very real and raw to him that he couldn't step outside of that to deliver us a educational, enlightening segment on the M word and how it affects you and how us as, you know, little person. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to talk anymore.
Well, here,
I don't even know what to say. I was going to say us normal size. We're not normal size. I can't say normal size.
Us full size.
Us full size people. Is that offensive? I don't know what to say. But yes, just educate us as just the, you know, the public as to what is the right thing to say. What is it? He couldn't even put it. He couldn't. You'll hear the guy's name is Jason, and God bless him. It seems like he's still really dealing with this, and just let his emotions get the better of him, and it came across as very combative.
Yes,
and very
combative.
You almost did yourself. You almost did yourself. Your the community that you're trying to, you know, defend. You almost did them a disservice.
Yeah, you had a platform to be able to kind of get your point across, which I wish we could have, but it was just too, like you said, combative. Here's a guy who has a son that is a little person that wanted to go at it with Paul, and well, it got weird. I'm behind the curtain. So yesterday, Scott, you got it here?
I do, yeah. We were in the middle of sports with Paul Mittermeier here. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Good morning, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Hello.
And Justin, I guess you were talking about some sort of UFC stuff. I don't know. I usually just tune out during
hurtful.
That.
But,
oh, wow.
Accurate, but hurtful.
I guess they got rid of the smaller guys.
The flyweights
because
they just don't draw money.
And then, you know, we were having a discussion about that, and Paul chimed in. Here's the audio from yesterday.
Even with an amazing record, and you're so skilled in the ring, and you're like a great example and a great hero to children around the world of small stature. No one paid to watch these dudes fight. The things that he would headline or be a part of would draw like no money.
So how could people be like into midget wrestling? But is that politically incorrect now?
Looking at the calendar, just double checking, but I'm pretty sure it's 2018 right
Sam,
now.
Sam, what's that say over there? You're closer to the calendar.
Does it say 2018?
It does.
It does.
Thanks,
it does.
Sam.
Almost 2019.
Wow, God, we're getting so close.
Where are you, Mittermeier? Paul? Why are we just throwing out the M word? Like
I'm going to blame Tony De La Rose for this because he always used to promote the midget wrestling at De La Rose's.
No, don't pass the
don't
buck.
Even set pass it again. The buck.
And you just
sit
said it
and
twice.
Steep in it.
Said it again.
You son.
Dude, it was. Tony De La Rose. I'm just stating
Tony
facts.
Tony De La Rose
here
was never brought up yesterday.
Tony De La Rose used to promote midget
stop
wrestling
saying
at De La Rose's.
No! Stop!
So, well, we actually have somebody on the phone.
I've done some research on this gentleman here. He chimed in during the segment yesterday. And let me see if I can find this gentleman's email here. And Paul, I do need to reiterate this. This man, I believe, is former law enforcement, current volunteer firefighter, Fire Rescue Institute. This guy is a Criminal Shore Justice Academy graduate. In the email yesterday, if I could find this here read. Hey, anytime you want to sit down, talk about your insensitive remarks about little people by using the derogatory term, I'm willing. If you're confident about using this M word, it is hurtful and it is wrong. I'm not a keyboard warrior either. Okay. I'm a man with a 10-year-old son that is a little person. I have met the most amazing people since he was born. I'll stand up for them anytime, anywhere, Paul. So I'd be happy to introduce to you my son in person and educate you. Again, Paul, I do need to reiterate, this guy is built like a brick ass house. And joining us here on the program now, we gave him the platform to reach out to you to right the wrongs. Jason, good morning, sir.
Morning.
How you doing, Jason?
Oh, I'm well.
All right, Jason. Oh. I'm gonna fire it up.
Have you
get his ass?
Have you cooled down since yesterday? You're still hot.
I've cooled down. My 10-year-old son's ready to throw Paul into a push-up challenge.
Ooh, yeah.
Now you do have a 10-year-old son that is. I've been to your Facebook profile. Beautiful young man, 10 years old. But as you said, he's a little person.
So that is just so we can put it out there to the masses. The correct term is little person.
Little person.
Yes.
The correct term is their name. I mean, they're no different than anybody else out there.
Shout out. There we go. I do see on your page, too, you have something for dwarfism awareness. So that is, that's the cause in this case, just saying, hey, I like that, too. They're not little people. They're just people. They happen to be little. He's got a name.
But if you do,
exactly.
Okay, I get that. But if you do need to refer to their,
I want you to fight Paul.
Their size or however, if it is, if you do,
they're
need
little
to,
people.
Okay, well that's what I was asking. Because if you there know, are there are times where you need to reference.
Absolutely.
That. Okay. So
absolutely.
It's a little
dwarfism is what they're diagnosed with.
Gotcha.
There is a technical term for each type of dwarfism, which there's like 400 different diagnosed types.
Damn.
Of dwarfism.
Why do you take such a combative approach with this?
Oh, I'm not combative. It's an educational approach.
But it seems like education through
There's some
anger.
Messages in here that I can't say that you wrote. I'll talk to that stick if you want. Buddy, can you not? Let's calm down here, big man.
Well, that's what you typed.
I know. But we're saying you just said you weren't getting combative.
Wait a minute. You called me an a-hole?
Yeah, I did. And I will. Paul, look at me. You're an a-hole. So we have Jason on the phone with you right now.
Apologize, Paul.
I'm sorry if I offended you, but I wasn't like addressing a person in specific as
me. You offended my son and every little person out there.
Okay, well, I apologize if I offended anyone, but I was just stating a fact.
I think you should resign.
It's called quits. I was stating a fact about what I saw previously, and that was what was referenced at one point. That's what it was.
Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't like saying, "Hey, you're the M word." I wasn't saying that to somebody.
if you're gonna throw the M word around, it's like you did.
Well, that's what I mean. He was talking about.
He was talking about
an event in the past that was one time called midget wrestling.
Yes, yeah, Stumpy.
It's not like he was. Go ahead.
If you want to do that, you might as well go ahead and use the rest of the racial slurs too. Stop.
Jason, buddy. Hey, real quick.
You're very.
I've been messaging you all morning to give you a platform. We're gonna have some fun. I even said, hey, let's have some fun. We'll get Paul a little bit. You also said he sucks at sport reporting. Mills the man. I'm complete agreement with you there. And hey, we're not
coming at you sideways, dude. Relax. Take a breath.
Yeah, take a breath.
Take a breath and relax.
Dwarf Athletic Association.
Huh?
What?
As a sports reporter, tell him to look into the Dwarf Athletic Association.
Jason, relax. We are on your side here. You don't need to take a tone with us. You're very worked up here.
Yeah, we were trying
to get it. I get it, man.
Have a little fun with it and let you kind of get at Paul, but it seems like you're kind of digging your heels in here, and you're just so feel free, make your final statements to Paul, and we can end this exceptionally unfunny segment.
It wasn't funny when it was going on yesterday, guys.
Gotcha. All right, well, Jason, take care, buddy.
All right, just take care, buddy. Paul, right. Anytime you want to talk, bud.
Okay.
So I'll sit down and we can do some educational stuff.
Thank you, bud. All right, there he goes.
That got weird to
that
me.
Was so worth
it. I didn't know where to go with that.
Yeah, I was trying to all morning. I've been actually talking to him all morning. Seemed like a good guy. I said, hey, well, I'll get the message across, but let's have some theatric fun also. My son wants to challenge Paul to a push-up competition. Probably not.
He'd win. He would absolutely.
You know, don't use the N-word anymore.
Stop using the N-word.
He would win, but I don't understand what that would accomplish. I mean,
just to prove that he could, his son could definitely kick your ass.
Oh, I'm sure he could.
Yes, he could. And he could.
What does that have to do with me talking about something that happened in the past?
I don't know. This guy got off the rails.
It'd be one thing if I said, hey, your son's a whatever, right. But I didn't.
You're right. He's less than because he, no one ever said anything like that. We just happened to use the word, which, was a misuse of Paul.
Definitely used the word. Yeah, Paul, you suck.
Which is a word you shouldn't use nowadays.
Well,
there's
that was fun.
Better terms. And, all right. Jason's really.
Defending his son.
Yeah, look, and I can't fault the guy for that, but I think there's a better way to go about that, right?
Yeah, I just, maybe as you said, Scott, very astutely, sometimes you can't tell tone through a message or a text or a comment.
And Speaks, I what's your take on that? You're a good barometer of things. What just happened there?
Well, I think he was just defensive, like you say, about his son. His son's probably been bullied and made fun of, so he came in that.
Yeah, he's loaded for bear.
He's in that mode. Yeah. He was in that mode. And I was trying to break him out of that mode, and I couldn't get him out of it. It's like, look, man, we get it. If you want to get the message out, do it in a positive, uplifting, educational way,
and
not combative.
I mean, the other thing here is that Paul is just a piece of garbage.
Whoa,
that's
the main takeaway. That's the main takeaway.
We have to consider that. Yes.
Well, hey, it takes one to know one.
Okay, all right.
Hey!
Okay,
you've dug a deep enough hole.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
We told tales on Wednesday of times that you ran away, and you'll hear at the end of this, it's a call that it kind of borders on annoying, yet it's as fascinating as it is grating, from a guy named Herb, and he tells this long tale of him running away from home and trying to find a rich aunt, trying to find his own Daddy Warbucks to keep him afloat. And you got texts all during this guy's story.
Well, yeah, the story was pretty great. I guess he had a car or something, and then the car broke down. He was running away, and he like took his mom's car or something like that, and then the car ended up breaking down in Mississippi, so then he stole a car. And as he was stealing the car, the house had a Doberman Pinscher.
A dog too.
Yeah, the dog jumps in the car. So then he's driving down through Mississippi with this dog in the car, and then that car runs out of gas or something. So then he goes to steal a Camaro, and then he's in Florida, and then he's trying to get over to where his aunt lives. And then we ran out of time, and we never got the end of the story because he had a rich aunt in Florida that he was running away to her house to go live with his rich aunt. And we never found out if he found the rich aunt.
Herb, if you're listening, reach out. We want to find out if you found the aunt. Also, I feel like this could spin out into another conversation, one that I feel like it would perk Spieg's ears up some. Pet napping. Stealing pets. I mean, you hear about kidnapping all the time. You hear about people stealing cars all the time. I bet it's more prevalent when you see a dog that's just so beautiful, or a cute, fluffy, fat cat. For a moment, you think to yourself, I could steal that dog. I can steal that dog.
In Herb's defense, the dog, he was stealing a car, so he had to get away quickly, and the dog jumped in the car. So what was he supposed to do?
Yeah, maybe the dog was trying to run away, too.
The dog hated it. Okay, that's what we're going to do instead. Next week, times your pets ran away. All right, hear about it now. Times that you skipped out on your parents when you ran away as a child. I'm Behind the Curtain. Josh does the story yesterday. Mom goes to bed. 11-year-old boy steals her 2013 Dodge Durango at about 2:45 because she took away his PlayStation. Homeboy essentially ran away from home, and by ran, I mean sped off from the police. This isn't the first time this kid has stolen a vehicle either. He hit 87 miles per hour, driving between 70 and 90 miles per hour as the police gave chase. He turned off the SUV lights. This kid's a slick driver. I mean, for 11 years old. I got an 11-year-old in my house right now that I'm still kind of concerned when he gets on his Schwinn, much less this kid that knows police evasion maneuvers. And it got us thinking about times that you, as a child, ran away from home.
Yeah.
That's what this kid did. Screw you! You took my PlayStation! I'm never coming back! Paul's ass. And
the things you needed as a child. Like, what would you put in the bag?
What an amazing question. That's it. First thing we go around.
Taking my Hulk. Taking my jelly bean.
The first thing I thought, Sour Patch Kids. I need enough Sour Patch Kids to live off of for about a month. I take my Swiss Army knife. I take 3 copies of Ultimate X-Men. I feel like I'm doing something adult by taking an extra pair of socks. And I definitely put it in like a plastic Safeway bag. And that's it. And then you head out onto the dusty trail. Where do you go?
3 houses down.
Pretty much. That's it. When I ran away as a child over some disagreement with my dad, the way my neighborhood worked is that, like, you have a house that your house backyard backs up to another house.
Yeah.
We had the same thing, except there was about a 50-yard-wide patch of just nothing. It was like a field, forest, drainage, ditch thing. It was the greatest thing to play in as a kid. And I figured I gotta stay off the main roads. I can't let the fuzz spot me. And I did. I just went into the little clearing in between the homes. I walked three houses down, banked to right in my buddy Hartman's house, knocked on his window, and said, "I gotta hide out in your shed."
Ooh, the shed. Good hideout.
Stayed in his shed. I was in there for an hour. I ate all my candy. I saw a wasp. Freaked out. Went home. That's as far as I made it.
You're getting a lot of these. This is pretty funny. It says, "I ran away once when I was young, and I went around the block for 2 hours because I wasn't allowed to cross the street."
That's so
just
funny.
Just walked around the block.
Even when you ran away, you decided to still adhere to your parents' demands and wishes.
And, yep, when I was 6, I ran away from home. I came home because I wasn't allowed to cross the street.
That's so funny. I didn't think that many kids weren't allowed to cross the street. We weren't allowed to leave the Carrington neighborhood. That's where I grew up in Waldorf. Carrington. If you think Cape St. Clair, where I live, is confusing, whew, holy hell, you should see Carrington.
You know, my parents put the fear of God into me. I grew up terrified that I'd be kidnapped. Did your parents ever use the kidnapping card to keep you home?
No, my parents were more insane hitchhiker alarmists. Oh, okay. Not that you'd be kidnapped, but don't talk to or pick up hitchhikers,
yeah,
because they will sit behind you in the passenger seat, back seat, and then slit your throat with a straight razor.
Yeah.
My dad was a big fan of Rutger Hauer in The Hitcher, and that happened in that movie.
They would, you know, my mother would say, you know, don't run away. You know, you could be kidnapped. And maybe that's where my fear of people began.
And let's be honest, you were a cute-ass kid. Yeah, I've seen some pictures of you. Tiny little bubble butt.
Yeah, I was hot.
You were hot. You were a hot kid.
You were kidnappable.
You were very kidnappable, and you would have fetched a high price on the flesh trade. I mean, you would have been on some sultan's yacht in the middle of the Arabian Sea, and they would have never been heard from again.
I mean, the story that my mother always cited was, I think it was in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was born in 75, but or maybe it was, I don't know when. It was around that time.
Okay.
And she's like, Wheaton Plaza, these two little girls. We lived near Wheaton Plaza in Montgomery County. These two little girls, they went to Wheaton Plaza, walked by themselves. They were seen walking home, disappeared. And they were gone. They've never been. I think they may have found the bodies recently.
Oh, my God.
But they disappeared. It was a mystery for 30-something years. My parents terrified me, so I never really wanted to run away.
Yeah,
because I was afraid some nut, the same nut who kidnapped these girls walking to Wheaton Plaza, would kidnap me.
Well, there was somebody that kidnapped them, so
your parents were right,
and your fear was right.
Yes,
you're not going to find any Russian massage therapists on some back country road. You can only get that at Casa del Spiegel. Hey, a tip of the hat to Ma and Pa Speaks for you keeping behind locked doors so no, a human trafficker got their hands on your soft, smooth, hairless little body.
Somebody wants to know if it's still called running away when you're 33.
That's going on the lam.
That's abandoning.
Mike?
Especially if you have a family.
Would you like to see a picture? Because this is knocking loose the crust of memories. Though I ran away and just made it to a shed and returned. You could also call us about this. You ever have anybody run away and use your house as a flop house? Because I did.
No, they came to your house.
Yes. And there she is right there, Michael. Her name was Rosie. There you go. That's
Rosie.
Rosie. Oh, see where she went to school right there? She went to McDonough. She went to Maurice J. McDonough. She was in the grade after me.
Why is this music playing and why does your voice sound like that?
Because we might have done sex to each other.
Oh, my. I was about to say this sounds like a penthouse format.
It does sound like a penthouse format. Mike, I can't encourage you enough. Maybe when we get off the air, we'll reach out to old Dirty Rose here. And yeah, she snuck into my bedroom window. Not to say we hadn't fooled and tickled and nibbled around in the past, but she snuck in, said that her mom got in a big fight, and I said, "Hey, you crawl into this futon with me. I'm going to finish Monday Night Raw, and then afterwards we can work on your room and board." Yeah. I lasted 20 seconds.
Let's go to the phones.
What position?
Slow, cumbersome missionary. While she looked off into the distance. I was 16. She was 17. Ceiling. Yeah, she just thought, boy, how did I get here? All right, let's see. What the hell is line two about? I'm just going to say the meter's going off, but let's talk to Ken in Damascus.
Yeah, I lived in Egypt for a year, my senior year in high school, 1980. And a friend of mine and I snuck out of the house, took a cab to the Great Pyramid, Cheops. Sat there waiting for the lights to turn off. It turned off at 11. As soon as we got one block, two cops come running around the corner. It is forbidden to climb the pyramids, and they wanted $100 a piece for us to do this.
Okay.
My friend cursed them in Arabic and talked them down to $1.50. And then we proceeded to get to the next block, and then our guide came. So, okay, I will guide you to the top of the pyramids. Well, we didn't need a guide. We knew what we were doing. We eventually got up there 460 feet in the air, and we spent the night watching the sunrise. Eight other friends from school met us up there, and we did things that were interesting.
You ran away to the top of a f-ing pyramid? Man.
Is he there?
Yeah, he's still here. He's still here.
I mean, I believe it. It's just, I don't know. Does that really count as running away?
Yeah, I feel like that was more of an adventure than running away. That's also where Sam Witwicky ran off to with the second Transformers movie, Revenge of the Fallen.
It's a pretty great memory. It's a pretty great story, but I don't know if it applies. And boy, he loves telling it.
Yes, he does. How many times has he broken out that accent?
He loves telling that story.
Hey, guys. Hey, sit down real quick. So I know you guys just got back from Ocean City, but ever tell you about that time I went to the pyramids? Had sex.
I mean,
at the
guy
top
went
of it.
To the top of the pyramids.
I mean, it's pretty great.
Pretty badass.
That's a pretty badass story. Let's see who else has been holding. Brittany's been holding for a second here. Brittany in Annapolis. Good morning.
So when I was 18, I decided to take $200, which was all that I had, and get on a Greyhound and travel all the way to Indiana, and then I started following fish around the country.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty great. That's it. That's pretty great. Okay, I got to ask. We got to jump in a second. How long did you make it out there? How many shows did you follow them to?
I've seen them 32 times.
Oh, good for you. We go. That's it.
Wait, but how long did that jaunt last?
Oh, God. I had to sell peanut butter and jellies.
Yep. Grilled cheese.
Make it. Yep, grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moved to cranberry and vodkas when I could.
Damn, you were deep in the game.
That's awesome.
Selling your way from show to show. So, I mean, you still see them when they come to Merriweather and stuff like that. But that one time you were out on tour with them was months and months?
They only go on tour for what, like 2 months, a month or so.
Right.
But the best one was in Indio, California. I got to see them at Festival 8, which was amazing. It was Halloween weekend, so they always do the best show.
What did your parents think when you dropped out of society and started following around a drug band?
They immediately thought I was on drugs.
Yeah, you were.
Which you were doing all the drugs.
I was,
that's a fact.
I'm not gonna lie.
And penis is a drug.
No, did not do that.
Oh, never mind.
Did they think you would come back, or did they have enough faith in you that they knew you would come back and you were just sowing some oats?
My mom always told me that, like, I moved to the beat of my own drum, so she kind of just let me go.
Nice.
And I came back, and I'm 30, and I'm a mother of two.
Hell yeah, man. That's you had your adventures. I'm proud of you. I don't even know you. I am proud of you.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is cool. Oh, you're going to have the best stories in the old folks' home.
An 11-year-old kid ran away from home. And not only did he run away from home, he hopped in his parents' car, truck, whatever the hell it was.
And
he took off.
Yeah, police gave chase.
This guy, this kid, 11 years old, going upwards of 80 miles an hour. He ends up crashing. They arrest him. This kid's a badass. Don't do that. It's not good.
Yeah, we're anti-steal your mom's car. That's our official stance here on the radio show.
But, yeah, so times you ran away as a kid, give us a call, 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. And shout out to Bruce from Gramophone.
What's up, Bruce?
What's up, Bruce? Hey, I got to get in there. I need to talk to you about an entertainment center, buddy.
Oh, don't. I mean, this.
Really?
Bruce,
I'm coming by.
Your head will explode.
I'm coming by tomorrow, Bruce. I'm shout out to the good folks at Cox that are Cox Roofing and their home repair division. They're scooping out that big, dumb
awful 1970s tacky fireplace. They're ripping it out.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to have a normal wall, and I'm going to put up a big entertainment center. So I'm going to go to Gramophone.
Bruce has got a little something tough going on, so we just wanted to shout him out. He's
love you, buddy.
Tough day for Bruce, but we're thinking about you. Bruce, Gramophone, shout out.
Shout out, Bruce.
Go to Gramophone. It's amazing.
410-338-1098. When did you run away? What did you do? How far did you go? I love the story Scott told earlier from the text that there were people that just literally had to walk around the block because even though they ran away from home, they still didn't want to go against their parents' wishes and cross the street. That is precious. Who do we got here? Our old buddy Ryan the Garbage Man checking in. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. So, I believe it or not, I actually ran away four times.
Whoa!
Yeah, the first time, I don't remember, my mom actually told me I was 4 years old. Apparently, I ran away, and I was actually naked when it happened.
Yeah. Look at my penis, world.
Completely naked. The second time I did it, I think I was about 5 years old, 6 years old, and I got caught, of course, and my mom's like, don't do it again.
I got to say, though, Ryan, at 5, 6 years old, that's not so much running away as in it's leaving the front door open so the dog can get out. You're just like an animal that escaped. I mean, my kid is 3. He's going to be 3. Shout out, Evan. And when we leave the door open, he just runs into the front yard. But I don't
know. 5 or 6. I mean, I got a 5-year-old. She's going on 6. They're pretty smart.
You think she's got the wherewithal to say, I'm mad at Dad. I'm running away.
Yes.
Really?
Oh,
yeah, wow.
Absolutely.
Damn it. Well, Evan's definitely running away. All right. Well, thank you, Ryan. I'm glad you
stuck
around.
Many layers to this as to why you ran away. What was the reasoning, if you can remember that far back? You know? You know, where did you go and how far were you gone?
Obviously we're going to get some tragic tales told of interfamily issues. I think mine was over like a bad social studies paper.
Course.
Yeah, I mean, I was a moron. My dad called me a moron because I was a moron. I got all up in my feelings and left. Jack in Baltimore, line 4, says he was the king of running away.
Yes. When I was, I don't know, going from probably from the age of 7, probably to the age of 10, I would run away to the local firehouse around the corner. My family friend would call my mom saying, hey, Jack's here. And so she would just tell, you know, just look out for me. And then, later in life, when I lived with my dad, I ran away and I made it to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Stayed there for 8 months.
Yeah, well, that's
damn
a good one. Yeah,
hell yeah. Very cool. Oh, this is great. Oh, we just got a message in. You can always follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/JSS98Rock. William T. checks in, says, ran away from home at the age of 13 over an argument with my Super Nintendo use. When I came home, Dad put a note on the door saying that the family had moved on without him. Good luck.
Oh!
Cried uncontrollably until he came out from behind the side yard and laughed.
That's
pretty great.
That's rough. Dad said he ran away as a kid. He was walking down the street. His father pulled up in his car and he said, hey, bud, where are you going? And he said, California. And the dad just responded, you're going the wrong way, and drove off.
Hell yeah. Oh, that is so funny. 410-338-1098. Let's go to who's been holding for a while here. It's our buddy Mark. Mark in Germantown. What's up, bud?
Morning, man. You too, Justin.
Hey there, pal! I have minimal chest hair.
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I actually ran away. I must have been about 4. I was really tiny. Family of 4 kids, and we were just terrorizing mom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she had enough of my crap, and I said, I'm running away. She said, fine, I'll help you pack. And I think she just grabbed like a handful of underwear and maybe my favorite blanket and threw it in a trash bag.
Damn.
And I walked down to the corner. I lasted a couple hours and I got hungry. And I get home and she goes, well, what are you doing here? And I said, I can't cross the street, you know.
I got to say, Mark.
A cute little tiny Mark.
If you didn't get to hear, Mike Anderson has a little online show called The Anderson Agenda. And he did an All-Star Callers episode. The episode where Mark called in and gave his backstory.
Yeah, that was great,
Mark,
dude.
That was your Sistine Chapel brother. I texted Mike during that listen and said, I'm captivated and sitting in my car.
We love you, Mark.
Unbelievable.
I really enjoyed that. That was fun.
That was great. Fantastic. You were great.
Yeah, you're
a great caller.
You're a great person. I am such a piece of garbage for the way I treated you. No, you're Phil.
Not a great person.
But we know our own.
God, it was such a great
All right,
episode.
Enough love fest. Get
okay,
out.
Okay, let's go. The Herb in Catonsville. Peaches and Herb. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, when I was like 13 or 14 years old, I lived out in Missouri. And my stepmom used to abuse me physically, which like beat me and different stuff. So I ran away. And I sold a Datsun 5-speed. And I was trying to make it down to Florida to my aunt, because she was rich, and take care of me.
Yeah.
So when I halfway down there, I blew the motor up in the Datsun. It was in Mississippi.
Son of a...
And... Yeah. And so I'm trying to find another car.
Yeah.
So I'm walking down there. I have no idea where I'm at. I'm somewhere in Mississippi because I'm... And the cops pull up and lock me up.
Damn.
Find out I'm a runaway. Mm. They call my dad. Yep. Uh-huh. My dad's going to come all the way down there and pick me in the Datsun 5-speed up, right?
Mm. Right.
And when I found out about that, I was like, oh, no.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Yeah, he's going to get me good. So I escaped from there.
Whoa, what do you mean? You escaped from the cops?
Did you saw through the bars and the prison?
No. Because I was a teenager, so I was in adult jail, so they didn't put me with adults. They had me separate.
All right.
So I said I had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And when instead of going to the bathroom, I went at the back door and I was gone.
Gone.
So I sold another car, a Ford LTD,
Jesus.
And a Doberman Pinscher.
At the
house.
The car had a dog in it.
No, the house. Because I took the car and it was a dog, a Doberman Pinscher, and he jumped in the car with me, so I took him all the way down to Florida with me.
Oh,
I thought he'd protect me.
That's the best story ever.
Okay.
So I made it all the way down to Florida.
Yeah.
And I was lost down there because I was trying to find. I was trying to get to Nokomis, Florida, somewhere outside of Jacksonville. I don't know.
I want to believe you're still on the run.
You're trying to find. Hold on, I need to know the end because you're looking for your rich aunt.
Right.
Yes.
I'm trying to find her.
Uh huh.
Which might just be a figment of your imagination.
I know she's down in Nokomis, Florida.
She lived outside of there. Okay.
So I made it all the way down to Panama City with a Ford LTD.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Panama City, but there's white sand.
Uh huh.
And I got stuck in the sand. The Ford LTD got stuck in the sand. And I'm like, then I'm stuck again. So I'm walking around trying to find another car to go farther down where my aunt lived.
Uh-huh.
And it was a white Z28 T-top that had somebody left the keys in. So I jumped in and took off. And when I took off, I found it didn't have much gas in it.
That's getting
so
too
back
long.
Then you, so back then you could.
Too long. I was on board,
but now we're getting too long.
I'm sorry. It's Herb, right?
Yes.
I had to reboot my computer. Could you start over?
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Behind the Curtain, Saturday 6 to 10. You'll hear coming up a conversation we had yesterday about, did I put my Christmas lights up too early? When is it too early to put up your Christmas lights, or should you just keep them up year-round? And, Josh, obviously, you, as a Jewish man, light the menorah, and, you know, you do it for the 8 crazy nights and all that. Has there ever been anybody in the Jewish community that just loves Hanukkah so damn much they jump the gun and set fire to that thing way before you should?
I've never seen that happen. That's interesting. That would be... I wonder why that doesn't happen.
Probably because you guys play by the rules. Meanwhile, us drunken Irish Catholics are just shooting from the hip when it comes to holiday celebrations.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Hanukkah, the date changes every year. So maybe the fact that, you know, Christmas is the same day every year, you know, you have when it's happening. You know when to put up the lights. You have your own schedule. But if the Jewish holiday is moving around, you know, you don't even think about it ahead of time, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, you have the 8 nights, and it just depends on where in the month it starts.
Yeah.
Now, much like with a Christmas tree, you know, we go out and we'll harvest one every year. In my dad's case, we'll actually steal one from private property. Do you have it's the same menorah every year, or are they passed down and you get a fresh one?
You know, you could use whatever menorah you want to use. I have the same menorah. It is very old. And
I believe it's 8 leather Yankee candles, scented candles taped together.
I mean, my only fear is that I'm going to burn down my house.
I was going to say, is it actual candles?
Oh, it's candles.
Does it need to be candles?
Technically, yes. Yes, it does.
You can't
not the lights.
Not the glow ones. No, this thing's got to be for real. It's got to be legit. All right, we'll hear about it now on Behind the Curtain. Did I or did I not put up my Christmas lights too early?
Yes.
No. Maybe.
And Justin's back on social media.
Hey, hi.
At Mr. Boring Justin on Twitter and at Justin98Rock on Instagram.
So boring.
And you can see a very, very controversial photo.
Oh, boy.
He is back on social media and back in a big way.
Stirred up a bee's nest, didn't I?
Super controversial photo. You've already put up your Christmas lights.
Yes, indeed.
And you took a photo and people are pissed.
Yes.
Some people.
Some people. Some people love it. Some people are extremely pissed. Some people are unnecessarily critical. Josh, can I show you what someone wrote before I actually didn't just delete their comment, but block them permanently? I am having a great time, by the way, on my own social media, being able to...
Ban.
It's been a great time, swinging the old ban hammer. Like,
is there a way you can look and see how many people you've banned? Because you've only been back on social media for about a week.
Had to have been dozens at this point.
Already up in the dozens. Good for you.
Oh, wow. That's not very nice.
Yeah, just at Christmas lights, an FF... One is the worst word, and the second is a homosexual slur. Christmas lights that I put up for my family, because I love Christmas, okay? Thanksgiving, it's fine, but Thanksgiving, frankly, can kick rocks. I'm driving 10 hours to hang out with 30 people I don't know, to cook for 8 hours, to last for an hour, and the only thing I get, unlike Christmas, is heartburn and diarrhea. Meanwhile, Christmas, I'm leaving with presents, I'm drunk by 12 o'clock, and I don't have to pretend to like my Aunt Edna's terrible stories about her stupid Etsy page. We get it. You glue macaroni to porcelain starfishes. Way to knock it out of the park, Picasso.
You paid to have them put up. I don't...
100%.
100%.
No chance I did that myself.
You fully copped to that.
Yes, I did. I paid great people by the name of... I even said I'd give them a little shout-out. K&B. Shout-out to the good folks at K&B. Thank you so much.
And let me just remind you, as I look at the calendar, Justin, it's November 9th.
Yeah,
it is November 9th.
It is. Very early.
And I think I'm saying premature.
You think it's premature? Premature
illumination here.
Premature illumination. That's pretty great. Premature illumination.
It is.
Yes. I just couldn't wait.
You are you're breaking the rule. The rule is that Thanksgiving happens, then you have Black Friday, and it's either Black Friday, that Black Friday, Saturday or Sunday. That's when the Christmas lights go up. That's when they go up. Then you keep them up all through Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Through the New Year.
Uh-huh.
And then New Year's Day.
Uh-huh.
Not long after, they have to come down. That is the rule. You are way premature on this.
I'm very premature. It's premature illumination. Paul Mittermeier is about to do sports with us. What say you? I already have my Christmas lights up because I love Christmas that much.
Too soon.
No, it's fine.
It's too soon.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Can I read?
And here's the other thing, too, Scott. You can leave your Christmas lights up until at least the end of January.
I'm going to leave them up till my birthday, which is
February
8th.
I've seen people leave them up till June, but end of January
is
okay.
That's a little ridiculous.
My neighbor texted me. Shout out to my good buddy Brady. He's right across the street. He texted me. I turned them on at dusk, by the way, so it wasn't even dark yet, and I've already got them on. He goes, dude, Halloween was last week. And I say, Christmas is on. Thanksgiving can kick rocks. He goes, we need sunglasses across the street. I said, enjoy the Yuletide tam. Mudge comes walking up from the mailbox. His dad comes outside and goes, man, lights up already, huh? It's like a beacon in the night.
Because too soon.
The lights that I got are shockingly bright.
They're
the
obnoxious.
Photo doesn't do it much justice because I did it at dusk where there's still a little bit of light, some natural light. At night, it might as well be 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in my house. You could get a tan standing in front of my Christmas lights.
Speaking of Justin, he's already got his Christmas lights up.
Yeah, hell yeah. Shout out.
I say too soon.
I'm saying right on time.
Well, let's say you, listener, 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. It's been a week of great debates around here. The great popsicle ice pop debate.
Oh, who could forget?
Yesterday, today.
Still popping off.
Whether or not it's too soon to put up Christmas lights. Justin, you are part of the problem, says one texter. Christmas doesn't come out of the basement until the day after Thanksgiving. Everything goes up that Friday, not an hour before.
Mm. That does seem to be the rule. Black Friday seems to be the day a lot of people are checking in about.
Somebody says, right on time for Christmas lights. I'm pulling all my stuff out of the shed this weekend.
My dude.
Becky says, I used to be a strict enforcer of making everyone wait until after Thanksgiving, but for some reason this year, I'm already listening to Christmas music and contemplating putting the decorations up. And meanwhile, over on my Instagram, Justin98Rock, what the hell? Thanksgiving hasn't even happened. Enjoy some turkey, enjoy some stuffing, and then take out the lights.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, boy, there's some other ones on here that are incredibly hurtful. There was the one that I brought up earlier where I said, jokingly, I wrote hashtag Christmas rules, hashtag Thanksgiving drools. I'm never a real Thanksgiving guy. It's just every year I'm driving 500 miles to hang out with people I've never met in a house I can't afford, eating food that I'm pretending to like around people I pretend to care about. And then I get, Christmas comes with shopping and consumerist bull S. Thanksgiving comes with amazing food. Also, no pretending to be a hypocritical believer. Haley, very disappointed in
her. Read that again? I mean, you're putting a tone on it that I don't know.
Very disappointed in her. Very disappointed. I mean, when you say consumerist bull and then start pretending to be a hypocritical believer, believer in what? Are you adding a religious angle to this that I have not even remotely mentioned? I'm just literally lighting up a house to make children happy, and you're slapping some weird religious angle onto it?
Well, yeah.
Haley,
it's the day,
very disappointed.
Jesus was born. Hello.
Is that why we celebrate?
Yeah.
Finally, someone laid that out for me. I always thought it was in celebration of the Coca-Cola Bears.
Somebody says, I love Mike Anderson, but why doesn't Sam ever chime in with her beautiful voice?
Sam, good morning.
Sam, what say you?
Hi, how are you?
What say you, Sam, filling in for Mike?
Hi, Sam, yeah. Executive producer.
Yep, that's me right now.
Yeah.
I am totally for decorating
of course.
Christmas.
God bless you.
Of course.
God
yeah,
bless you.
What's the problem with it?
A force of good
me
in this
joy.
World. You bring me joy.
Thank you.
Well, then why don't you just leave them up all year round?
That's a good question.
Well,
maybe I will.
I have an answer because I paid a guy to do it, and he's coming to take them back at some point. Yes, had I actually sprouted chest hair and had my balls drop, maybe I could have hung them myself, but I definitely would have fallen down a ladder. So they're going to come and get them at a predetermined date, which I have requested to be January 30th. That's right. It's going to be up all January long.
Let's and go we have phones. A listener hanging out in studio all morning, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
She won an auction to be here, the soiree for OJ. She spent a lot of money to be here and hang out with us. What do you, thumbs up or thumbs down on the... She's
thumbs
all about
up,
it.
Thumbs
all right.
up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Speaks to Jew in the room. Do you indifferent? Don't care?
Yeah, I don't care. I just want people to take down their Halloween decorations now.
Yeah, you got a neighbor still rocking the Halloween decorations.
Yeah, I got a real inconsiderate neighbor. Hey, put the pumpkins away.
Now, are they fall decorations or are they Halloween decorations?
I can't accept pumpkins as being fall decorations.
I'll take a gourd, but not a pumpkin.
Yeah, only
so pumpkin for you is
Halloween.
Strictly Halloween.
Absolutely.
Even if it's just a pumpkin, not a jack-o'-lantern.
Absolutely.
Damn.
Any pumpkin.
So we still got pumpkins out front, and we got one of them hay bales. We got a hay bale and some pumpkins.
Oh, I love a hay bale. A hay bale is classic. Hay bale's fun, and hay bales can stay through Thanksgiving because that is fall. But like a tap dancing skeleton hanging from a tree,
no, that's Halloween.
Get that out of there. All right. Someone tried to pass that off as a fall decoration yesterday.
What about a scarecrow?
Scarecrow only farms.
Oh yeah,
only farms can have scarecrows.
Yeah, you're trying to scare off a bird or like a transient. Let's talk to, let's see what Cameron says, checking in on line six. Cameron, good morning.
I was listening, and I got to agree with Spiegs. If there are people that still have Halloween decorations, it's too early for Christmas. Now, I used to work at Linens and Things before it went bankrupt, and obviously, you know, as soon as Halloween's, like, pretty much there, Christmas stuff is in the retail stores.
Right.
So you can go ahead and buy that stuff, but honestly, for me, like, I would always decorate the tree in the house 2 weeks prior to Christmas, and then I would keep them up until my birthday, which is the second week of January. So,
I feel like that's too late. 2 weeks until Christmas? That's not a lot of runway, buddy.
Yeah, I think you're smushing it down a little bit too much. Like I said, for me, it was always Once you got through Thanksgiving, then you started messing around with the Christmas stuff.
Kevin Bourne says Thanksgiving is so much better than Christmas. Christmas lights should never go up. Hashtag screw Christmas. Kevin, you are an absolute lunatic. Like I said earlier, at Christmas, I leave with presents and Yuletide cheer. With Thanksgiving, I leave with awful conversation and diarrhea. Let's go to, who's been holding for a little bit? Renee on line two, very patient. Renee, good morning. I hung up my Christmas lights already.
I have no problem with that.
Mwah.
The reason why is, you know, Hanukkah is like December 2nd, so which is actually the Festival of Lights. So why not have your lights up for the Festival of Lights?
The voice of reason.
These are Christmas lights. They're not Hanukkah lights.
And I am a Gentile.
He's not Jewish. They're Christmas lights. I know nothing to do.
I've applied. Know that I've applied.
The Festival of Lights.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Renee. Bless you. Boy, Chris making a great point here that I wish I could say at home without being kicked out. Chris, good morning.
How you doing?
Very well. Illuminated. Prematurely, maybe.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you're not. It's your lights. You bought the lights. You pay for the electricity. You pay for the house. It's your call. You can have them all for a year.
No. Okay. If it were only that simple. Oh, buddy. That's not the way it works.
Hell no.
Okay. We all get to pass judgment and shove it in his face.
Hell yeah.
That's what we do.
I run the roost at that house. I don't at all. I'm basically, here's the order of hierarchy. Mudge, Evan, the cat, the two children, the neighbor boy that comes over and just steals lunch meat, and then me. Yeah. Sam, if you can go ahead and save that last call, I'm going to forward that to Mudge just so she's aware of the...
Now, are you done with your premature illumination? Is the picture we see up at your... at Mr. Boring Justin, MR Boring Justin on Twitter?
I have to admit, that's not a lot of festive lights.
It's very...
It's not even Christmas.
They're all white.
Just, yeah.
They're all white.
I mean, I like it, but...
It's very sanitary.
Are you calling me racist? It's a very racist lighting setup.
It's very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Very plain?
Yeah.
I like plain. Sanitary, very...
I enjoy, and it's funny you say that because the kids are not happy that I didn't do colored lights.
Yeah, and colored, like, maybe some inflatables?
No, God, no. Good Lord, I don't eat cigarettes. No, I'm not having any inflatables up there. I don't have a Trans Am that doesn't work on the side yard.
What do you think,
yard.
Sam? What else can he chuck in there that would make it a little more... What about some of those plastic Santas or reindeer?
Candy canes?
Mm-mm, no. There will be some fake candles in the window. I will lay those out. But the inside of the house is going to look like effing Valley View Farms, though. I can promise you that. It's going to look like Santa's Workshop up in that piece. Three trees, multiple ornaments all throughout the house, mini trees.
We got to explore this in the weeks to come. What is this all about?
I love Christmas. I love giving. And it's the one time of year that I can buy back people's love. Yes, you're all getting cars.